Well, hello there, and welcome. Get that hum out of there. Welcome to high school football on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We've got another Division II football playoff game today. It'll be between Somerville and Beverly. Somerville coming in with a record of 4-3. I want to correct that from what's on the post. Somerville is at 4-3, and Beverly is at 5-2. And today's game, of course, will be kicking off at 1 o'clock. Everybody seemed to have won home games last night, so all the favorites won, and the playoffs are underway. Beverly Panthers warming up. Let me shut this music off here. Beverly Panthers warming up down to our left, and Somerville has not made an appearance yet. So, Coach, I wonder if we're going to get this game underway on time. We started a little early last night, so that probably means we're going to start late today.
Yeah, well, usually they come in from the right end of the stadium as we're facing in here, but we haven't seen Heidner here of the team. There's a youth team practicing over at Cooney Field. They may be able to start the game. I just don't know. I haven't seen them.
Well, we've got a scoreboard with Bill Newell that we're going to play here in a little while. We'll probably run it again at halftime. We're also going to check in with Beverly football coach Andrew Morency. I called him Kevin last week, and I called Kevin Andrew, but Coach Andrew Morency will be doing the Beverly Panther preview with Tim Kearns here coming up. And again, Somerville coming in with a record of 4-3. They have wins over Greater Lawrence Tech, North Reading, Whittier, Malden. No, hold on. Their wins are against Whittier, against Greater Lawrence, against Somerset, and against Medford. 52-30 against Medford is their biggest score. Somerville comes in with a record of 4-3, as we mentioned, for Coach McAdon Fenton. It's his second year. He has 8 wins, 13 losses, and the Highlanders have scored 217 points, allowed 258. And that's a lot of points. I wonder if that's right.
You know, it's playoff football. You get your better teams against your weaker teams, and better teams are going to do good things.
Well, Somerville plays in the GBL. They're not coming into the NEC, are they? They're not one of the four teams.
I think they are. There's only like four teams left.
Somerville is coming in.
Somerville. Everett will be here for everything except football, which means I guess they're going to play an independent schedule. What St. George Prep and Brockton have done in the past. They go and try to find teams to play them. And where are you going to seed them in terms of division? Of course, they're a Division I team. But where do they fit in, depending upon what schedule that they do play? You're going to get Somerville, Malden, Medford. Who's the other one that's left? Phil? The other GBL team. You got Malden, Medford, Somerville,
and
Melrose?
Cambridge.
Really?
Yeah. Can you imagine being a team and having travel to Cambridge for a Friday night?
Cambridge on a
Tuesday
night.
Yeah.
So really. Stacy's up here as well. We'll check in with Phil in a little while. Get him on the headset as well. It's the Salem News Sports Center. We'll take a look at all the scores. In fact, we'll do that. We'll take a quick break, and then Bill Newell will be back with our scoreboard from last night. And it looks like, as I said, everybody, all the home teams won. And interesting score out of Andover. We're going to try to have Coach E.J. Perry on Monday night, if we can, talking about E.J. Perry the Younger, who pulled an amazing game out of the hat last night, and more on all of that coming up in our Moynihan Lumber pregame show. So this is MSO News Sports. We do have high school football coming up, keeping my fingers crossed, hopefully, at the top of the hour. Again, Somerville not here yet, and Beverly almost finished with their warm-ups. We'll be back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber. We measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sockies and Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sockies and Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SockiesandSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sockies and Sportswear is the place to go.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
Here are the Friday night scores in Division I North. Andover in overtime beat Lexington 54-48. In Division 1A North, Chelmsford beat Revere 25-14. It was Peabody 35, Western Academy 19. Lincoln Sudbury 35, Cambridge 14. And Reading shut out Malden Catholic 33-0. In Division 2 North, it was Masconomet 20, Waltham 8, and Billerica down Concord Carlisle 35-0. In Division 2A North, it was Danvers shutting out Wakefield 28-0 in a broadcast game here on MSO. Gloucester downing Melrose 18-6 in a live streaming video game. Marblehead shut out Wayland 35-0. North Reading downing Bedford 35-0. Check out the website. We do have some post-game videos from some of those games here on MSO News Sports. In Division 3 North, it was Bishop Fenwick 31, Amesbury 6, Newburyport edging Pawtucket 21-17, Triton 22, Swampscott 10, and Watertown down to Austin Prep 34-18. In 3A North, Linfield 34, Northeast Regional 14, and St. Mary's walloped Winthrop 52-8. Division 4 North, Cathedral 30, Essex Tech 14, and Brighton beat Lynn Tech 32-8. In some non-playoff games, Burlington 16, Arlington 6, it was Malden 22, Lawrence 13, Manchester Essex 45, Marion Keefe nothing, North Andover beating Lynn English 22-14, Wilmington 31, Arlington Catholic nothing, Winchester 28, Salem 6, Woburn beating Lynn Classical 19-6. And check back with the website throughout the weekend for updated scores and results here at MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back before the start of today's Beverly Somerville game here at Hurd Stadium. And once again, it's a gorgeous stadium. Beverly still warming up down to our left. Field is still the old natural stuff out there, so it gets torn up, but it's in great shape right now. It's very cloudy, but I don't see much of a breeze, so that shouldn't be a factor like it was last night.
No. Phil Stacey just had the most remarkable observation. As he looked to his right, we saw some people in warm-up suits crossing the field, and Phil thought that Somerville hadn't changed into their game outfit, the uniforms yet. It was actually the cheerleaders heading to the far side of the field. So I think Phil needs a little bit more coffee before we start the game. The flags are fluttering a little bit. The flag behind the goalpost is waving a little bit, but nothing like the horrendous conditions we experienced last night during the course of the game, though it did get better as the game went on. Into the second half, the rain stopped in Danvers, so it was rather playable, but it was still awful, awful warm out there. I don't know what the conditions on the water were at Gloucester.
It was kind of weird. It was it didn't get better. It stayed pretty bad all night, and the rain was heavy in the beginning of the game, heavy at the end of the game, but was so weird. There were flags at each end of the stadium, and they were blowing toward each other. It was most strange, and so I had no idea which way the wind was actually blowing.
I get a lot of circular wind pattern right there on the water. So Newell Stadium has always been a very unique place to play. So
game last night, I was talking to an official too, Coach. Sorry for interrupting, but just to let people know who are listening to our game, and it's on demand as your game is on demand on Channel A, or at least on the website. Ours is on demand as well. At the end of the game, there was Melrose was driving for a touchdown, and I think they were inside the 20, and they were called for an ineligible receiver downfield. Illegal pass, so it was a loss of down, and it should have been a spot foul, 5 yards. Well, they took the loss of down away, but didn't move the ball. So that gave, and I think it was something like 4th and 1 or 4th and 2 or something like that, so that gave Somerville an opportunity to get the first down, and I believe they did. And they were knocking on the door for the touchdown when the time finally ran out. But a great game between two terrific running backs, Mike Pedrini of Melrose, I think I said Somerville, of Melrose, with 220 total yards last night from scrimmage. Christian Sanfilippo of Gloucester with 222 yards total from scrimmage. And believe it or not, Gloucester did a good job stopping Mike Pedrini, and he still had 220 yards.
Yeah, you're going to get those kind of quality players, and they find a way to get their yards. I mean, they're shifty. If you give them the opening, they have that innate ability to exploit it, and certainly, you know, that matchup came as advertised, and the fans weren't disappointed. A lot of times in those matchups, you get one defense just absolutely shuts down the opponent's top guy while your guy is able to go hog wild, and you're wondering, you left to wonder, geez, you know, how the game might have turned had it been more 50-50. 18-6, Gloucester tacking on that late touchdown to really secure the victory was a big score. Showed a lot of the fortitude that Gloucester has possessed throughout this whole season.
I think two interesting games to consider as we look at Somerville now getting onto the field late for their warm-ups. Somerville, in the most recent games, they lost to Everett 49-14, but then they came and bounced back and beat Medford 52-30. So they're capable of scoring a lot of points. They rely very heavily on their quarterback. They rely on Elijah Jeffries quite a bit. Chris David, a running back, and Gilles Pierre, a sophomore, is a big part of their offense as well. So we'll take a look at those guys along with some others as this game progresses. And you've seen Beverly many times. We'll talk about Beverly after we listen to Coach Morency in your Panther preview, but they're warming off down to our left. And 5-2, I know they've had a couple of disappointments.
Yeah, they ran into Marblehead and Danvers in back-to-back weeks, and the Marblehead game, they were just dominated, and Danvers took it to them as well. I think there may have been some hangover from that, but they bounced back with the win in their final game of the, you know, regular season, as they like to call it. It just drives me crazy to talk about it. So, you know, they're coming into this game feeling good about themselves, and everybody is healthy, you know, everybody has their nicks and dings. Yeah, both teams have that.
And you look,
but everybody's ready to play.
You look at the regular season, and Wakefield and Melrose are tied for first in the Middlesex League in their conference, and they've got one more game to play. They play each other on Thanksgiving. That's a league game.
Yeah.
And they both get knocked out of the playoffs last night. It's very strange, and I hadn't even considered two teams is going to take first place.
Yeah, they're tied for they're tied now, and they'll make the decision to win the league later on. It's a useless argument because the MIA is not going to change it. They like the money that comes into their pots every fall now because of the, you know, enlarged or engorged playoff system that we find ourselves in. But Beverly's healthy. My interview with Coach was right after that practice, and the chill wind of autumn had kicked up, and it was cold standing in that parking lot.
Yeah, I did the same thing with Tony. So really, it was freezing, and the wind was blowing. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Panther Preview on MSO News Sports at MSO News Sports. I almost said at gmail.com, but that's our email address, msonewsports@gmail.com.
drink and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Kearns, and this is Panther Preview with Beverly Football Head Coach Andrew Morenci, brought to you by the Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street in Beverly. For the best in deli-beaten party platters, and especially their calzones, it's the Gloria Food Store. Coach, standing here in the parking lot behind the high school near the practice field, there's been a definite change in the weather.
Yeah, it's pretty cold. It's football weather, right? That's what they say. So you know that it's November, you know there's playoffs when the weather gets like this. So,
Somerville, Saturday afternoon. What have you seen in the film?
Well, they're very athletic, I got to say. They're very aggressive. They're pretty good on defense. They got some key guys that they like to go to on offense. They got a good running back, a good quarterback. I'm pretty impressed. You know, we're going to have our hands full. They definitely are formidable.
Everybody healthy?
Everybody's healthy. We're still, you know, we still have Gavin, Peck Evan. He's still kind of taking it day by day. Other than that, Hugh, like I said, came back. He contributed last week. We're psyched about that, and we've seen rearing to go.
Positives from last week's game that carried over into practice already?
Well, you know, I think offensively we were able to kind of put some things together, I think, on Friday. I think it was one of our more complete games as an offense. You know, we were able to run the ball and pass the ball at key times. We had drives all night long. We kept our D off the field a little bit, so I'm very pleased with the O. D, we still have some work to do. You know, I was impressed with Classical. They run that offense. They know what they're doing. They're big and they were strong, and they seem to be getting better as the season goes on. So that's something that, you know, defensively we still got some work to do.
You know, briefly talking to the coaches up in the press box, they felt it was their best game of the year, the most complete game. Still didn't get the result, but again, it's a process of moving forward.
That's right, you know, and coach does a good job out over there, and I know they always have athletes, and you know that's something that, you know, as a football coach, you don't like to play Classical sometimes at the end of the year because that's when they maybe figure it out a little bit, like all high school teams. So, you know, I just think that, you know, for us, we were psyched to go into somebody else's place, come out with a win in a tough game coming from behind fourth quarter. There was a lot of positives there.
Certainly, and you got the big defensive play in the last minute.
That's right, you know, defense sometimes it's a matter of making big plays when you start to turn it around at key times, and you saw the little bit of that from seniors, and that's a good sign. And I know the defense has a lot of pride. We want to come back Saturday and play our best game.
Coach, I'll talk to you Saturday afternoon.
All right, Tim, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank
Great.
You.
Great. Best of luck.
Thanks.
Okay, that's my coach, Andrew Morenci, the Beverly Panthers football head coach with the Panther preview. Just getting chilly out here, folks. Brought to you by the Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street in Beverly.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. I'd have to find the cursor. Couldn't find it. Going to be a proverbial late-arriving crowd here, and been here many, many times, and looking across, seeing what's left of the colors and the trees over there. It's always a beautiful spot here at Hurd Stadium. The band, well-represented today. Got to have a shout-out to the Danvers band last night, too. As they were fighting that weather and did a great job out there in their uniforms getting soaked. Did the same thing a week ago, too, over in Danvers. So a terrific job by the Danvers band. The Gloucester Pep Band was there last night. They sat out in the rain and did their best to cheer Gloucester on, and it was pretty effective.
Well, again, you know, just as a dedication that those kids had, the time that they put in to prepare for their, you know, their routines and numbers that they play throughout the course of the game. And, again, the weather broke for the Danvers kids last night. The rain let up, and it's just a tremendous part of the whole experience of going to a Gloucester Danvers football game. Even Beverly, the band comes out, they're 123 strong. You know, the time that they put into practice and rehearse is just incredible, and they need to be lauded and praised as much as anything that the football or any of the other sports accomplished during the course of the school year.
All right, so Somerville has arrived. They're here. They're warming up down to our right, and trying to figure out the colors. They have white jerseys. What color are the pants, Coach? Gray, maybe?
Yeah.
Sort of gray, and they kind of look like they're muddy, but I guess that's how they're supposed to look. And they've got powder blue helmets on?
Yeah, I would go with the powder blue. Yeah, that's
powder blue helmets. And no logo. They are the Somerville Highlanders. And one young man, a couple of young men have these bright colored shoes on as well. So an array of color on the field as we see the Somerville Highlanders warm up. They came a little bit late, so I don't know if we're going to start on time or not.
1:15.
We're going to start at 1:15. Ah, there you go. So what do we do, Lynn?
We can do so. We can talk to Phil about last night's game. If you,
all right, why don't we take a break, and we'll see if we can...
Danvers.
Okay. All right, so let's we'll take a break and get some sponsors in here, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit with Phil. You're listening to MSO New Sports. We will have Beverly and Somerville coming up in a little while. We'll be back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at HarringtonTrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and ItemLive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
All right, we're back before the start of this afternoon's game between Beverly and Somerville. It's going to be a late start. The Somerville Highlanders getting here late. I don't think traffic's all that bad usually on a Saturday coming in to the North Shore, but pretty bad going out this time of day during the week. I want to bring on Phil Stacey now, the sports editor of the Salem News, and along with Tim Kearns, I'm Rick Moore. Phil, all the home teams won last night.
Yeah, everybody holding serve with the exception of Peabody going on the road, winning up at Westford Academy.
But ah, that's right.
Locally did win, that's right. And not that many close scores, to be honest with you. I mean, Marblehead rolled, Danvers rolled over Wakefield. You had, Gloucester held serve. That was a great game that I know you were at last night. Bishop Fenwick cruised to a win. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised to see something similar today here and over at St. John's Prep. I mean, I think both Beverly and St. John's, they're both favored to win. And if all goes according to Hoyle here, I think they should win.
You know, I was just looking at the scores, Phil, and it's pretty close. The local teams from the conference and the area averaged between 25 and 30 points last night. So yeah. The offenses were in gear.
And you would think that the weather wasn't really conducive to that, but I think we saw you know, where I was in Danvers and where, Rick, you were in Gloucester, the running game, you know, you saw that it was able to get on track and the line was able to, you know, create space and open holes and things like that. And, you know, Marblehead, they're just so multi-dimensional and so talented that they were able to do a little bit of both because they could. But to me, what's been impressive in all three of those scenarios, and you can include Bishop Fenwick in there, you can include Triton in there as well, with their win over Swampscott, defenses are stepping up at the right time. And I think you ask any coach, they love to see the offense pick it up, but they really want to see their defense carry the day at this time of year. And so far, it's working.
Well, you know, they say the defense wins championships, and, you know, Danvers shuts out Wakefield. PBD gave up 19 points. Marblehead shut out Wayland. Masco gave up 8.
Yeah, Masco played very well last year.
You know, and so the local team, like you said, you know, the defense has really ratcheted it up on a night where their offenses were able to score. And I was even surprised at the Danvers game we were at. The Danvers put the ball up as much as they did, knowing the strength of their ground game and what they're able to do. That the frequency that they did take it to the end to try to just get Wakefield to back off just a little bit to open up some holes for Andreas and company.
You know what I thought was great, Tim, was that, you know, obviously these guys are coached up, they've been preparing for this, but, you know, when the whistle blows and you're between the lines, it's up to the players to make it happen.
Yeah.
And the players stepped up to the challenge. You know, miserable night by all accounts. I mean, hey, we can't complain. Nice heated press box, but
to which Tony Gallagher made do no good.
Yes, but no, it was a miserable night there. And those kids stepped up and said, you know, this is why we ran during the summer. You know, at 6 a.m. and lifted weights and ran on the beach and, you know, whatever else they did to get ready for the season. It's a moments like that. And you know, sometimes it's difficult for 16, 17-year-old young men to summon that up when the conditions aren't the way that they hope to be or should be or whatnot. So in that sense, I thought it was a great showing by our local teams. And it also shows that the strength of the football in the Northeastern Conference, in the Cape Ann League, in the Catholic Central League, in Fenwick's case, is some of the best in the state.
One thing I noticed last night, guys, was Melrose, you know, got shut down at the end of the first half. They were stalled at the 2-yard line when time ran out. Second half, they're driving for a touchdown. They don't get in. But there was no chippiness. The guys shook hands. They played hard. They knocked that bozo out of each other, you know, both teams did. But there was no chippiness, and that was, given the conditions, given the what was at stake, that was great to see. And again, that goes to the coaching.
Well, and you know, I'll tell you why I picked Gloucester to win that game. I think I had that as my so-called upset of the week, which, you know, probably would have been a pretty even game if you were the type to lay a few potato chips on it. I liked Gloucester because I think it was a lot what happened last year applies this season, in that they were healthy coming into the playoffs. They weren't beat up by going through a grueling schedule. And that's not to diminish the other teams that they played in conference, but I think Gloucester got a lot better by coming to this field and playing and losing to Beverly in week 2. And if you guys remember, I mean, I know you were here, the second half of that game, Gloucester was down 28-0. You know, for all intents and purposes, the final score was predetermined at that point. There was not a lot to play for. But they came back. I thought they played a great second half. They showed a lot of fortitude. They put 2 touchdowns on the board. They held Beverly off the scoreboard. And since then, they've been playing great.
I'll tell you, one of the best plays I saw all season long was, what are you doing?
I'm having a bunch of my take-off picture.
I don't know what he's doing.
He's motioning to the only Canadians fan I will speak to to take a picture.
Do you need that much time? Can you take a picture of the three of us?
That was good.
All you had to do was push the camera button.
So we'll get back to our live broadcast here in a minute.
Yes.
The camera.
But what a great game Gloucester at Marblehead should be next week. I mean,
you know, I want to point out, I've mentioned Nate Young a couple of times. Nate Young is the Gloucester quarterback, but he also plays defensive back. And he made a couple of plays last night.
Thank you, Serge Savad.
Nate Young made a couple of tackles last night on Mike Pedrini that were touchdown savers. But what you were talking about, Phil, a minute ago, about the work ethic and kids getting it. A couple of games ago, and I can't remember who it was against, but Gloucester was playing a team with a really good running back, a really fleet back, and the kid broke one off. I think it was Lynn Classical or Lynn English. Broke it off 75 yards.
Played Classical or English this year?
They played both.
Yep.
And there was a The kid was breaking open field, and about the 30-yard line in the Gloucester zone, he put a deke on Young, and Young missed it. But Young changed directions and followed the kid and caught him at the 5-yard line.
So
and
that's was like an athlete right there. You know, to have the sense to change direction like that.
And the kid went by him. Yeah. But it also showed, I think, that coaches instill, you know, never stop on a play till you hear the whistle type thing. And that's pretty cool.
I can't claim to know a whole lot of guys on Coach Cirilli staff, but knowing Tony as I do, which, you know, not as much as you guys do, but, you know, certainly have met him a few times, watched his teams play, I'm really impressed with the way those guys as a staff have progressed during his time there. You know, from a young staff three seasons ago.
They're in their sixth.
Are they really?
Yes.
Oh, geez, see, time
wow.
flies.
Yep.
You know, and just the way that they have them ready to play, the way that they respond to adversity, the way they play at home with that Gloucester pride, I think it's great. It's great for Gloucester, but it's also great for the conference. I think it's good for the conference when Gloucester is good. You know, you hear people say that, like, it's good when the Yankees are good, or it's good when, you know, the Patriots.
Montreal.
Are, right, whatever. it's good for the conference when Gloucester is good, because then everyone else has to raise their level of play.
What you mentioned about the coaching staff, I talked with Coach Cirilli, and he said it was interesting, and I haven't talked with a lot of young coaches, but he said, you know, when he first took over, he had to do everything. He had to control everything. He had to do it all, and he was exhausted. And then he learned to trust his assistants, you know. And now he said it's much better because he can trust them. He can focus on the overall picture from afar
and
work on his specialty. And I bet coaches do that all over the place.
Well, I think, you know, you can take a look right here and see what we have in Beverly, you know. Coach Morenci's in his first year at Beverly, but he's been a head coach for the last decade, and he knows what it's like to delegate to his assistants. I mean, he's got a couple of veteran guys, and like Mark Thomas, Bruce Doig, who helps out, guys who have come with him that he had at Hamilton, one of them, Scotty Shares, Pat Henneberry, a guy like Jimmy Fultz, and he can delegate to those guys. And you see the good coaches do that. Jimmy Rudloff does that.
Well, I was just going to mention the article you guys had on Jim Rudloff.
You know what? Wasn't that a fantastic job that Matt Williams
had? That was a great article.
It was great, and I think what made it really nice is that Coach Rudloff didn't know that Matt was writing that. He, you know, he spoke to, of course, to the Marblehead High principal and former Beverly coach Dan Bauer, Steve Dombowski, formerly at Swampscott, of course, now in Milton, and Raj Day, the longtime offensive coordinator of both Danvers and Beverly. And it speaks so well to Jimmy, not only that he's got a mind to get these kids coached up and ready to play, but that he can place his trust in assistants like Benny Goodhue and Mike Giardi and the great staff that he has there. And that extends to Danvers as well. I mean, I think Sean Terrio's got a terrific staff in Danvers, and it's part of the big reason for their success. I mean, Nolan Ryan, I'm sorry, I can't believe I said that. Ryan Nolan, thank you. Ryan Nolan, not the 5,000 strikeout guy.
It's amazing it doesn't happen more often with all the names you get in there.
You think so. Ryan Nolan, the defensive coordinator over in Danvers, he's a whiz. I mean, he really does a fantastic job game planning and getting those kids ready to play.
When you get our age, Phil, what's going to happen is the kids you see now, their sons are going to be playing, and you're going to be calling them. Because I'm calling, last year, I'm calling Alex Enos, Mark Enos, and I did it again this year with some other guy.
Well,
and the Morencis, I mean, it's the same thing.
I'll give you guys a little bit of a trivia here, okay? Now, I don't know how far back you go with this stuff, but when I first started my second year in the job, covered a running back out of Hamilton. They were great back then when Danny Kadaris coached the team, and they battled Ipswich for the Cape Ann League title 1 year on Thanksgiving. Unbelievable game. Came down to a blocked field goal that won the championship for Ipswich. But player for Hamilton Wenham, went on to play at William & Mary, very high-level Division 1A. He was captain down there for William & Mary, named Mike McGowan. I don't know if you remember that name.
Yes.
Mike was a terrific football and baseball player. Mike McGowan's fellow captain at William & Mary was Mike Tomlin. Head coach of the Pittsburgh
Steelers. No way. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's funny that you say that about, you know, kids of, you know, guys you used to cover way back when. The North Shore is a small little area, but the tentacles reach out everywhere.
Well,
I mean, they just spread, you know, whether it's generational, you know, third generation kids playing, or guys who played with so-and-so who went on to do this and things like that. I mean, it's amazing.
I asked Sean Terrio the other day about, you know, does he keep his one eye on E.J. Perry up in Andover because he was up there?
Yeah.
And he does. And, of course, Coach Perry keeps his eye on Houston because of the connection down there,
right.
You know, with
right.
the Texans. And it's you're right. It's amazing the reach that the North Shore
I mean, even look
sports
at the,
has.
You know, the World Series. This, you know, oh, the Cubs haven't won in 108 years and the Indians haven't won since, what, 48, I think it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are North Shore connections to two of those. I mean, you got Jack Levisich from Beverly, who's, you know, in the Cubs organization, pitched in AAA this year. If it wasn't for Tommy John surgery, he probably would have been with the big club with a chance to win a World Series ring. Lenny Marullo from Essex.
Legendary.
Most people know him as a scout around here, but Lenny was the last living member of the Cubs' last World Series, not winner, but participant in 1945. Lenny died last year, but, you know, Lenny was that last link to the World Series for the Cubs. And I bet you didn't know that Kluber, Corey Kluber, for the Indians, his in-laws live in Hamilton. So, I mean, there's always something tying us to this area.
6 degrees of separation.
That's six.
All right. We're talking with Phil Stacey. Tim Kearns is up here. I'm Rick Moore. We're waiting for the start of today's Beverly-Somerville Division II playoff game. Somerville still warming up down to our right. Panthers have gone back into their locker room.
About 8 minutes to game time.
How much?
8 minutes.
8 minutes to game time. All right, so bear with us. Phil, I got to ask you about the hat. I know number four. I know skate, but I've never seen a hat quite like that.
I forgot which one I learned. Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Okay. Yeah, this is a, I think it says it on the side over here. It's like a Bobby Orr special.
Yeah, it does. It's
Bobby Orr special.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a sign. It's actually not stitched into the hat. It's stitched onto a piece that's stitched onto the hat.
Okay.
Did you make this hat? Because it kind of has that look.
No, I've seen other people with this hat. I think our friend Pete Kelly had this hat.
I don't know if I should do this. I was supposed to introduce you guys. Yes, it's Mickey Mouse, so give me a break. It's Mickey Mouse.
Oh, hey.
My daughter bought it for me, all right?
Yes.
And who said we're doing a Mickey Mouse operation?
And guys who are men in shorts, how could they be dissing anybody?
I'm all about the comfort, you know?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I'm all about the comfort.
Okay.
You know? And although I will say that the last time we were here, I thought this metal press box turned into like a little ice box by the end.
Yes, it was.
That was a cold day.
Phil, have you met Bobby Orr and talked with him?
I have, yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
He's fantastic. Anything you'd think he would be. I mean, the consummate gentleman.
Those Globe articles are right about
him. Oh, yeah. There's no... I don't think they need to talk him up, so to speak. I mean, very engaging, very polite. He's a great guy. You know, I met him first time... Oh, God. I was a kid over at Pickering Wharf in Salem, and he was doing a book signing. Now, I've never been, like, a big autograph guy. Or, you know, I had friends who we would go to the Red Sox, they would want to hang around the bullpens and all, and it just never really appealed to me, but I do have a book, an old, like, the Bobby Orr story book, that I have autographed, the only two autographs I own in the same book, Bobby Orr and Mike Ruzioni.
There you go.
I kind of figure, like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
There's a connection.
Like, the gold medal, game-winning goal guy, and the, you know, flying through the air Bruins Stanley Cup guy. So, no, Bobby's a great guy. I still see him at the Garden from time to time. You know, he was there for opening night last week. And, you know, he's genuine. He's a treasure.
That old gang, that old Bruins gang from the 70s,
yeah,
that won the Stanley Cup,
yeah,
who stayed in the area, they're all a bunch of nice guys.
Oh, real good guys. And a lot of them are still involved with the Bruins alumni. You know, whether they play, you know, a guy like Pi McKenzie, you know, Chief Johnny Busick runs it. Taz, Terry O'Reilly still plays.
Ken Hodge ran the Olympics, the Special Olympics for a long time.
Yeah, Gary Doak, you know, was around sometimes, and things like that. So, yeah, they're good guys. They made this area their own. I mean, they were certainly embraced and loved by the people here. So they've, you know, paid it forward by staying here and making a life for them and their families.
My sister almost got to go on a date with Bobby Orr.
What's that?
My sister almost got to go on a date with Bobby Orr. Luckily,
really?
Luckily he got hurt that night. Yeah.
Luckily he got hurt.
She met Burton Page, who used to own the Colonial.
Okay.
His Burton Page was the father on the Colonial.
When you said Burton Page, I was thinking, wasn't he in the Guess Who? But that was Burton Cummings.
Burton Cummings, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, my sister was at worked at Saugus Hospital,
okay.
Saugus General, and that's where the Burton Page's daughter was born. And my sister became their babysitter.
Really?
And, of course, and as she got old, she was like 18, 19 years old, and they took her to the Boston Garden. And
okay.
she was supposed to meet Bobby Orr after that particular game.
Okay.
And he got hurt that night.
Really?
Yeah. I never felt bad about it. I always felt, geez, what a lucky break for Bobby.
Now that is terrible.
Oh, that's family. That's family. Terrible.
Well, back then, you know how old the sisters are when you're a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah.
Phil, final question to you. if we look around, during the upcoming tournament season, what do you see as who jumps out at you as a quick favorite in any sport?
Well, we were talking about this last night. I think there are quite a few soccer teams that could do very well from our area. I mean, you have the unbeaten Peabody High girls who are playing fantastic. There's actually quite a few girls, I think, in the different divisions from the North Shore could do well. Beverly could make a run. Danvers could make a run. Swampscott could make a run. Masconomet could make a run. And on the boys' side, you know, you always have to look at St. John's Prep. I think Masconomet is very strong. I think Danvers and Beverly are both really good. So it should be a very good November
mm-hmm.
for our local teams.
Okay.
Field hockey should be very entertaining. You've got Danvers, Marblehead, Gloucester.
Marblehead had an outstanding season.
Yep. Yeah.
It's funny.
Amazing.
Historically, meaning our area, has not done very well in field hockey, with the possible exception of Manchester Essex. So I'm hoping that changes for those teams this year. And obviously, good luck to all of our local teams.
Okay, the team's coming back on the field. Phil, keep the headset on. Join in when you feel like it.
Sure.
I know that you're working, so don't feel compelled.
I'll pop it on when I have a thought.
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you.
There you go. All right.
It may be fleeting, but...
Okay, that's fine. All right, and we're about to get ready to get underway here as the Beverly Panthers are coming back onto the field. We'll have the Beverly Band with their... National Anthem. Somerville has retreated to the far environs of the practice fields, I think. We're back over to the buses, and they should be back soon. We will have Somerville and Beverly coming up about 15 minutes late here due to the fact that the Highlanders got here late. Not a lot of people on the far side. They do have the umbrellas out, so I don't know if it's misting out there or not. Can't really tell, but I have a feeling it is. Great skies, threatening skies, very cool temperatures, but not a lot of wind to talk about. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the start of today's game from Hurd Stadium in Beverly between the Beverly Panthers and the Somerville Highlanders. Division II playoff football on MSO New Sports.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern.
The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities, because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
Well, good afternoon once again. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Profosky, and Salem News sports editor, Phil Stacy. And yeah, it is raining out, and we didn't bring the gear for the rain. So
you didn't tell me.
Gentlemen,
we'll have to bring this thing in
at
this time,
for the playing of our national anthem.
Raining harder, and you can hear we're right under the PA, so we'll be battling that all season, or all day, I should say. National anthem about to be performed by the Beverly Band as soon as the big huddles out at the center of the field by both teams subside and the teams get back to their respective sidelines. Could be sometime in the near future or not, as we again have a late start, still waiting for the kickoff in this one. Did you see who won the toss?
No.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out if we could need distance to drop over the back of it.
No, I'll have to bring it way further than that. But should be all right.
I don't.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. I know.
You shouldn't be. Yeah,
we'll put your coat, your jacket, if we have to. Okay, national anthem has been played. Officials are huddling out at the center of the field. Today's officials, the referee is Joe Donovan. Umpire is Bob Nardone. The line judge, Frank Posca. Dick Sawchuk is the linesman. He was our referee last night. Mark Dillon is the back judge. And, of course, up here running the clock, once again, it's Phil Brody. Phil seems to be at many of the games that we're at, fortunately for us, as he supplies us with the names of the officials on the field. Division II playoff, Beverly will be kicking off. I believe they won the toss and deferred, which is a new thing since Coach Belichick has done that many years. Most high schools I remember used to want to start the ball on offense, and now they want to start on defense.
Well, again, it gives you a chance to stop the other team, to take some of the wind out of their sails, put them on the defensive. As Coach Belichick likes to do, he likes to end the first half with possession and score and get the ball in the second half to start off and score.
All right, Gilles Pierre will be back deep on the near side. On the other side will be Lucas St. Jean. And Luke Semperi will be kicking off from Beverly from right to left there, and they're all black uniforms, of course, with the orange trim. Black helmets with the Clemson Tiger Paw on their helmets. Big game for Beverly again. They're 5-2.
It's a Panther paw, not a Tiger paw.
It's the Clemson logo.
It's a Panther.
I want the Panther on the helmet. I love the Panther.
I know.
But you're right. Yep. Okay. So again, not too many people on the far side. The band taking up most of the room. There's a few Beverly fans in the middle of the field. And appreciate you joining us on MSONewsSports.com on MSO Radio Live. Last night's video game will be posted hopefully before the end of the day. If not, it'll be up there tomorrow. So Semperi will kick off, and it's a good long high drive kick, line drive kick that goes to Pierre at his own 5. Cuts it down the right sideline to the 10-15. Loses the ball, and I think he pounces on it at about the 32.
Yeah, he pounced on it at a good point in the field. There was only one Beverly defender who made the strip, and he had fallen down. And Pierre was able to spin around in one motion and land on the ball before he was buried by Beverly cover people. So a fortuitous beginning for Somerville. Could have been drastic. Beverly could have been set up really well at about the 30-yard line with an opening drive, but Somerville will start with the ball, and we'll see what they can do against his Panther defense.
And remember, Pierre is only a sophomore. Try to set that lineup as we can. Claude Blanc, a big senior, biggest man on the field right now, and then the Highlanders go right to the line of scrimmage. Elijah Jeffries is the quarterback. He's back in shotgun formation with twins to the left and a man in motion from right to left. That's Barrientos. Once again, there's a mix-up in the backfield, and the ball is loose. I think the Panthers may have it. They do. Beverly recovers back at the 25.
There was a mix-up in the handoff, and the ball was tumbling around, going towards the far side of the field. And there were three or four Panthers in the area, and one of them finally managed to corral it. Beverly sets up shop at the 20, almost the 24-yard line of Somerville. So an opportunity missed on the kickoff, but an opportunity taken on the first play from scrimmage.
10:47 left to go, meaning we're just underway as the Panthers will break the huddle now and have the short field. Jordan Parasella is the center. Panthers set up in the stacked eye formation. Then they'll shift to a shotgun and put trips out to the left. Kevin Morency, the quarterback, with the three receivers off to the left. Morency throwing to the left. And it is complete to Flaherty, dancing around at the 25.
Kevin Morency pass is complete.
Maybe down to the 20 or to the 19. So it is Morency to Flaherty for about 6 yards, 5 or 6 yards to the 19.
Well, that was a bit of a floater by Morency. Luckily, Flaherty had checked up in an open area. He's going to get a little bit more zip on that ball. In the conditions last night, Borders, throughout the first half, was putting an excellent touch on the ball, getting it to his receivers on a line drive.
This is a run play. Second man through and leaping over. Tacklers is Kyle Sinard, close to the first down.
Yeah, he hit that hole like you shot out of a cannon directly right up the middle over the center. Got a good, good block from Parasella.
It is a first down.
Panthers first down.
To the 12. Somerville 12, 7-yard gain. First down, Panthers first possession. They're on the near hash mark, moving from right to left, headed toward the concession stand. Nick Shares, Nick Gonzalez are the guards. Aside, Jordan Parasella, Jake Veal, Paul Ofish are the tackles. Morency in the backfield. Last time setting up as fullback was Amir Al-Shrafi. And he is the upback with Shenard, the tailback. Hand off to Shenard, going through a big hole and just bowling into the end zone for the touchdown.
Another great block on the offensive line. Behind
Shenard,
behind Morency.
Touchdown
and
carry.
I think Nick Shares, just a big, big gap there. Just again, like he shot out of a cannon. His legs are sprung really, really tight right now. And he just listed through that hole. No one put a hand on him.
Just a 12-yard dive right up the middle. And as you say, nobody there until somebody in the secondary came up and tried to stop him in the end zone. So it's 6-0 very quickly with a minute and 26 seconds played.
I have to ask Phil, who gave him the name? Oh, we missed it, I think.
Wide right, no
yeah.
good.
Oh, I read it, yes.
Yeah, Somerville did jump.
I did.
You did? I thought so, because I remember when after the last game here, you were not
right
down, told me he said, well, we're getting a lot of miles out of that leg of
truck. Yeah, he will attempt the extra point.
Has he taken to it?
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah.
He hasn't missed one this year. He does. That's good.
Two plays, 24 yards for Beverly, and Somerville jumps again, but I don't think it's offside this time.
That one's
this
good.
Time it's good. So it's 7-0, Beverly. So Somerville snake bitten early on. They fumbled on the return, the kickoff return to open up the game, and then first play from and recovered it, but then on the first play from scrimmage, they fumbled again, and Beverly recovered it and took advantage of it. So the Beverly Panthers leading here in this one by a score of 7-0 as we are just underway. Somerville has had one snap and Beverly has had three. I think I said two plays, 24 yards, but it's three plays, 24 yards for the Beverly Panthers. Tried to get a hold of Coach Mackin and Fenton, but wasn't able to during the week. Also, so we're a little thin on some of the descriptions and some of the background that we ordinarily would have. But we gave it a shot. Sam Perry will be kicking off from the 40. I don't think it's raining anymore. Overcast, a little cool though.
I can see you've upped the ante with another jacket.
Yeah, I don't know. This is my last layer. I didn't know the game was going to start so late. Here's a line drive. Bounces at the 30-yard line into the hands of Pierre. Returns it very quickly to the 30, well, to the 32. Gio's Pierre. He's a sophomore. And it's first and 10
Giovanni Pierre with
for Somerville.
I tell you, that kid has some legs. Get him into the open field. He could be very, very dangerous.
Well, he is one of the burners for the Highlanders. Second possession now for Somerville. This time they'll start at their own 30. Last time at their own 31. And they go right to the line of scrimmage. So it's going to be a challenge for me to try to keep stats today with that kind of offense. Everybody set now for Somerville as they come from the sidelines directly to the line of scrimmage. Three down linemen for the Beverly Panthers. Jeffries is the quarterback. Handoff run play. Going to get substantial yardage out to the left side. And out to the 40-yard line goes Chris David. And he gets the first down.
Johnny Jones with that tackle. Grabbed him by the back of the shirt. Just dragged him down.
With the carry. Nick
Shears rushed from the left side on a linebacker blitz, but gets to the right side.
The
play went the other way. Beverly sort of got trapped on the inside. Opened up the wide side of the field.
First down for Somerville on the far hash mark going from left to right. That was a 13-yard gain for Davis.
Johnny Jones had the big interception against Lynn Classical to close out that game.
Lucas St. Jean is the wing off to the left with Jeffries, the quarterback, David, the running back. Left-handed toss out to the left flat to St. Jean. It's complete. Big first down yardage into Beverly Real Estate. Across midfield, 45, down to the 40. And big, quick left-handed pass complete to Pierre, it was.
It was Johnny Jones and Jake Vail.
Tackled by Tommy Adams.
So they're going to bring it back, though. That would have gone down to the Beverly 40. But the penalty brings it back. It's holding against Somerville.
Holding against Somerville.
And let's see where the ball is. It's going to be at the... Well, who's got the ball? Looks like it's going to be stepped off from the 50 back to the 40. So it goes back to the 40-yard line. So it's a net 3-yard loss. All right, so it'll be... First and about 13 for Somerville. They are at their own 40. In the shotgun is big, tall quarterback Jeffries. And it's going to be a handoff up the middle. A couple of yards, no more than that for Pierre. He's dragged down back near the original line of scrimmage. Second down.
Jake Vail and takedown with Beverly.
Jake Vail and Clinton McAlpine.
Stuffed the middle up very, very nicely.
I thought that was number 2 carrying it. It was number 4?
4, yeah.
Okay.
Second and 10.
Yep. So it's right back to the original line of scrimmage on the 3-yard gain by David. They're going to put St. Jean in the slot to the right with Joseph the wideout. Shaq Joseph is the wideout. And the interior receiver is Jelani Tull near the line of scrimmage. Strong left formation, wide out to the left. But it's a run play right up the middle. Oh, and he slips and falls after getting about 5 yards. And once again, that's Chris David.
Yeah, he might have had first down yardage had he not lost his footing. Trying to make a cut to his right. Again, you're playing on the grass surface, so it's going to be a little slick and a little soft in places.
4 yard
overall,
gain.
The field is in very good shape.
Going to bring up third down and five.
7:19 rolling along. Beverly leading 6-0. Kyle Chouinard, a touchdown from 12 yards out early on.
Nick Shears and another linebacker blitz to the right side and he got sealed off on a good play by the right tackle.
Jake Veal, Clayton McElpine, Kyle Champlain, Paul Ofish up front on defense. Third down and five for Somerville. Lifting it long and high down the left sideline, covered and incomplete at the 25.
Great
that thing
coverage.
Was up for grabs. Who was covering?
Elijah Jeffries' pass is by Johnny Jones.
Pierre was the intended receiver. Jones broke it up.
Jones was step for step with him and was just enough behind him as the play would be made. Jones was able to turn around.
Five.
I thought he was going to have the opportunity. He almost had an interception there.
They're going for it.
He became a defensive back.
At their own 48-yard line, fourth down and five. Jeffries the quarterback. He's a big, tall kid. Left-handed quarterback trips to the right, and they're trying to draw him offside now. Yeah, timeout, Somerville.
Nice play by Kyle Chouinard, who went up behind the linebackers in the defensive line, told him to hold and be calm, because he figured out just what Somerville was trying to do there.
So the Panthers held, and Somerville looks like they just got to get some rhythm going, and they've got some offensive weapons.
Yeah, they made some plays. Yet the running back loses footing. I mean, another chance for first down there. You get hit by winning games, and you win games by making plays, and they've got some playmakers.
Punter is Jason Barrientos. It's a high snap, puts the right foot into it. Tremendous high kick. Going to come down to the 19-yard line. And there is a muff, and I think Beverly recovers it, or does Somerville. But I think the receiver was impeded. He was hit before he actually caught the ball.
Yeah, that's
flag down on the field.
He did not have the opportunity to catch it.
No, he didn't.
It was very, very close, though. That's the thing.
Yep.
It was very close.
Well, let's see now. Let's find out. We got referee Joe Donovan is bringing everybody back. And if it's, let's see what it is. Illegal formation. Block in the back against Beverly. Offset, we'll do it again.
Offsetting penalty.
Well, that was a weird play.
Replay, fourth down.
Illegal formation on the punt.
Huh?
Illegal formation on the punt.
Penalty on each team, and the ball was fumbled. I still don't know who recovered it. I guess it was Flaherty who got hit as he was trying to catch the ball.
They're flipping out Flaherty for Beatty now.
Yeah, Beatty's on the near side.
That'd be a good move.
Yeah. Yeah, Beatty's an excellent punt receiver.
No, you don't.
And it is repeat, fourth and five. Once again, Barrientos will get it away from about his own 40. This time it's a short shank kick that's going to come down and do a right angle roll along the 32-yard line and go to the sideline.
Yeah, he's about 15 yards short of the previous punt.
Down by Henry
Bentley will
Dustin.
Take it, and they'll start the second position.
20 yards.
So, let's see here.
20-yard punt. Beverly start out first and 10.
All right, Panthers start at their own 32, second possession, leading 6-0 with
6:28
left to go first quarter.
No, the temperature is cooling, but Phil Rick hasn't gone to the gloves yet, so it's still bearable.
I can't find them. If I could find them, I'd be wearing them.
Oh, yeah.
Ruthless. Ruthless. First and 10, Beverly. Morenci in the shotgun. He's got twins out to the right. Play. No, it's a fake, and Morenci keeps it. Rolling to the right side. It finds a hole in opening across the 35. Out to the 40 and close to the first down. Morenci with the keeper.
Nice read there. I guess between the center and the right guard.
It's at the 41, 9 yard gain.
9 yard carry.
And that was
second down and one.
Looked like he was going to pass. Looked like he was going to hand it off, and he just kept it. Ball on the far hash mark now, with the Panthers moving from right to left on a cool, overcast gray day.
Especially he has flannel pants.
Way better than last night. Here's the stacked eye formation. Handoff to the tailback. And he's going to be stopped for a loss at the 40-yard line.
Someone did a nice job of jamming the hole on that one. Kyle Chenard had nowhere to go. May have lost a yard. See where they spotted.
He did. Chenard was back at the 40. Well, no, put it right back at the 41.
Oh, that's quite generous.
No game brings up third and
so
one.
So it's third down for Beverly and Panthers.
Such a thing as a hometown call in a playoff game?
I hope not. You need to be neutral in these things. No.
They usually have neutral officials.
That's what I was wondering last... I should have brought it up last night, but I didn't get a response. You know, are these generally neutral officials?
Yeah.
They should be.
I'm guessing these guys are either Cape Ann or Middlesex League.
Okay.
Well, here we go. Third and one, Beverly at their own 41 with the man in motion. Gets the handoff, trying to cut around the left corner. Does, gets the first down, and going to break it. That's a Beatty. He's to the 40. 30, down the sideline, 10, 5, and he's in. The Beatty breaks it for the touchdown.
Beverly.
Okay, he got the yard he needed, and a whole lot more. The linebacker actually had sealed him off to the sideline, and a Beatty did a stutter step, cut inside of the defender, and then just wove his way back into the middle of the field, and then went to the far corner and just outraced the Somerville defense. What an athletic move by Abatey for a 59-yard touchdown.
59-yard touchdown run for Sam Abatey.
And for Beverly, three plays,
68
yards. And they lead 13-0 with 4:49 left to go in the first half.
Okay.
St. Perry will put the right foot into it. Again, this is a line drive that goes through. Quite an angle on that. And so it's 14-0. And Legatron is catching on, eh?
Phil dubs it Barry Legatron, and now it's just, it's gone viral.
So early on, two quick touchdowns by Beverly. And Somerville is reeling right now at the moment, but they've shown capability of moving.
Did St. Mary's win them at 52-0 last night?
Yes.
They're eighth. Oh.
Yeah.
Beverly Van firing up on the far sideline, and I'm standing in a pile of gum here. Isn't that pleasant? Jeez.
It just keeps getting worse for the guy from Texas.
Is this where Bill usually broadcasts from?
Yes.
Or Marty. Marty's the guy over here on Saturdays, right?
Bill's been here, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I found gum on his seat last night, too. It has to be Bill.
A couple of quick touchdowns for Beverly. Kyle Chenard from 12 yards out at 9:24. And now Sam Abatey from 59 yards away at 9:49. Panthers leading 14-0. Sam Perry will kick off. Soccer-style kicker. Gets to it. Ba-boom. Long, high, end over end. Coming down to Pierre at the 4. Cuts it to the right, to the 10. Out to the 15, across the 15. Stutter-stepping. Makes it to the 20. And down at about the 21.
Yeah, he was a little bit more
hesitant.
Indecisive on this particular return of the previous two.
Yeah.
He just got the ball and came flying forward in this one. But he had a wall of a defense, but he didn't know where to go. He must have had four or five white shirts out in front of him, but he couldn't find an alley to scoot through. And he started stutter-stepping, trying to wait for a hole to open up. By that time, Beverly coverage team had come down and just snowed over them.
4:41 left to go. First quarter, Panthers leading in this one, 14-0. And except for the Peabody game, everybody else won last night at home. Peabody pulling the upset away. And conference doing pretty well. We'll run that scoreboard again at halftime.
But wasn't that a 4 and a 5 playing in that game? So that's...
All right, Jeffrey's handoffs, gives it to David, trying to sweep to the left. He turns the corner and gets a few yards, maybe to the 25 or 26. Chris David carrying it for the fifth time so far in this first quarter.
Christopher David with the carry, tackled by Johnny Jones.
At the 26.
Yeah, Jake Fail is also good on that tackle. He's getting a lot of assists, if not outright tackles. He's really, really active in the middle of that Beverly defensive line.
Make it to 27, and it's second and 5. On the far hash mark. One receiver split wide to the right side. Jeffries hands off, run play the other side this time. Davis going from left to right, and he's going to get very close to the first down. Second effort, pushing the pile forward. Across the 30.
Ball came loose. The officials blew the ball dead. Kyle Chenard came up with it. But
Christopher David with the carry. Tackled by
Tommy
Adams.
So second first down of the game
first down
for the Highlanders, and they're at their own 32. Just across the 32. Ball midway between the hash marks. Down to 3:40 left to go. First quarter, Beverly up 14-0. Hand off, run play once again. This time it's David hit as he gets the ball, no gain. Ball is down once again. It came loose, popped loose, but referee Joe Donovan said, nope, it's down. It's at the 32 right there, no gain. Second down and 10. Might have lost half a yard. Jake Veal gets credit for the stop.
Again, hyperactive in the middle of that line that I just get through mentioning.
Why wouldn't you go to a huddle if you're going to do this? They stand at, you know, they stand out at the line of scrimmage, everybody hands on hips looking over the sideline for the play to be signaled in. So it's the same effect, I guess. I don't know. Save a little time?
Yeah, you know, running the equipment, running over, running back over. We've seen several area teams do.
All right, here's a run play again to a new running back and bumped down, knocked down, flying tackle. For about a 3 yard loss.
Tim had that sniffed up, great lateral movement to seal him off, and then just dove into him, shoulder first, and took his feet, legs, everything else out from underneath him.
Henry Augustine was the ball carrier.
Yeah, great reaction by Abadie coming off from his corner spot.
The tackle by Abadie brings up 3rd and 12.
That was a nasty hit.
Yeah.
Back to the 30. 2 yard loss, 3rd down and 12. Long time getting the play from the sidelines. Maybe that's the reason they don't go to the huddle. As we're just waiting around for the play to be called in. Jeffries apparently has it now. Gets his team set. He's about 5 yards off the line of scrimmage in shotgun. Two receivers out on each side. He wants to throw. Left-handed passer. Throws it short, incomplete. At the 35, would have been well short of the first down. Anyway, Lucas St. Jean was the intended receiver.
Yeah, Cousinot had the coverage. He was a couple of steps behind him. Getting over to the coverage, the ball off the hand of the receiver. If Chenot had been there a little bit quicker, he may have had an opportunity for a pick, and there was nobody in front of him.
St. Jean, number 6 out there, went right through his hands.
Yep.
Now it's 4th down, and 13 to go for the first down. And once again, that'll force Jason Barrientos to get the ball away from about his 23. This is a high kick. Going to be fair caught by Flaherty at the... Oh, it's Abadie, I'm sorry, at the
Jason
37
Barrientos
or 38.
Called a fair catch for Sam Abadie.
So let's see. 22, 8, 21 yards. First quarter coming near an end.
10 on their own 38-yard line. 42-yard punt for Barrientos.
And the clock shows 1:45 left to go. First quarter, ball at the 38? 37, where is it? Yeah, call it 38. So the Panthers in decent field position again with 1 3/4, as Doc would say. Fullback, tailback, I formation set up behind Morency. Tailback, Chenard gets it, goes, bounces it out to the left side. No, it's Flaherty who gets maybe a yard.
Kevin Flaherty, the ball carrier.
Might give him one. And, oh yeah, they'll get one to the 39, second and 9. Almost 2 yards, not quite.
2 yard carry for Flaherty, brings up 2nd down and 8.
Call me a liar. It is at the 40, so it is a 2 yard gain for Flaherty. Clock rolling at 1:15. 14-0, Beverly leading first quarter. Two quick touchdowns for the Panthers. Set up on the, again, I formation with a fullback tailback. And play action, rolling to his right, Morency. He's sidestepping, and he's going to be buried back at the 35. Big sack by the Somerville defense.
Number 35, Manuel Santiago, didn't give up. Great, great fake on the motion, and Morency slid out, just couldn't find an open man, and Santiago just kept coming after him and just wrapped him up and put him down.
Well, they need to get out to the 48, and they're at their own, just short of the 35. So it's 3rd down, and about 13. This time twins to the left for Morency with the eye behind him.
Chris Cole, the wide receiver.
Back to pass, Ferenczi rolling, screen to the left, complete, and it's to the 35 and to the 40. That's it. Ball comes loose. They're going to send it down once again.
Pass is complete for Amir Ashrafi.
Number nine, Liad Joseph on that play. Real big, nice reaction.
Al-Sharafi catches it, but it's well short of the first down on the defensive stop. Back to the 40. They only get five.
That's going to be the end of the first quarter.
That ends the first with the Beverly Panthers leading here at Hurd Stadium. They lead the Somerville Highlanders by a score of 14-0. We'll be back with the second.
An announcement. This is the final.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your place.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
As we start the second quarter, the Panthers will punt. And this is a tremendous punt that's going to hit at the Somerville 20 and die at the 18.
Wow. That just went poof. With one little hard at the end of the line.
For Luke St. Pierre.
The line. Right.
Down by Alex Copeland.
The punt receiver for Somerville was about 15 to 20 yards further up the field. He saw it coming and just waved his hand and just watched it sail over his head. It was a bullet, but it just died as it hit the turf here at Hurd Stadium. Nice soft flush. Such a grateful landing after getting tackled.
85 yards of offense for Beverly in the first quarter. 21 for Somerville. Beverly with the 2-touchdown lead as we start the second quarter.
And again, you talk to coaches around the league, and where's the favorite place to play? And most of them will tell you this field right here, because it's grass and it is impeccably maintained by the staff here.
Elijah Jeffries is the big, tall quarterback for Somerville. They've got two receivers off to the left and one off to the right in the backfield, Henry Augustin, with quarterback Jeffries. He gets the snap, left-handed, looking downfield, throwing, and it's a tremendous leaping catch. It's going to be a touchdown all the way. How do you do? Oh, my, what a catch by Shaq Joseph over everybody. And he just rolled down that right sideline. We're talking 82-yard pass catch and run.
He outleapt the defender. And it was absolutely perfectly thrown. He caught him in stride. He came down with it and just took off. The Beverly defender lost his feet as he came down. And, wow. You know, and I was just going to make a comment earlier of Jeffries has an impressive pass on left-hander. Throws a really nice tight football. He gets it on target. He really's only missed one pass.
Emerson,
but he gets it there, and he's got an arm.
Joseph caught it at about the 50, so it was a tremendous long pass. The extra point attempt is good, and we have a 14-7 game.
Makes it Beverly 14,
Emerson Clems put it through, and it's 14-7 Beverly, but boy, quick strike for Somerville. With 10:41 left to go in the half, and as I was saying, long pass from the 18 out to almost the 50, and Joseph just went up over the defender and made a nice over-the-shoulder catch in stride right down that sideline, sprinting the rest of the 50 yards.
Absolutely perfect time, perfect air underneath it, dropped it right into his arms. BC is winning 3-0. See how long that lasts.
And just like that, 103 yards of offense for Somerville, 85 for Beverly, 14-7 Panthers leading. And you could almost sense it coming. Somerville on the cusp of scoring a couple of times, or getting it together, getting their offense in gear. Second quarter just beginning as we... the Panthers will await the kickoff. I don't think they've had a kickoff that they've had to return yet. This will be the first one, I believe. And it is Emerson Clemens. Emerson Clemens is the kickoff man. And let's see. Some kind of a delay. And here he goes, running up to it. Long, high, end-over-end kick. Who's going to get it? It's loose. It's up for grabs. The Panthers barely cover it back to the 10-yard line. It was just, talk about indecision. Panthers just let it go. It was finally gathered in by Chouinard,
who
picked it up while it was on the ground.
Hugh Cowles and Chouinard both thought it was going to get into the end zone. It hit it about the 2-yard line and spun backwards up the field. They had a jump on it quickly.
Well, I think each was surprised at the depth of the kick. It was a long kick that went down inside the 10. And they were up a little bit more. They were up at beyond the 10. So now the Panthers, with a little bit of a surprise, they're back at their own 10. First down, leading by 7 now. And they're at their own, they're at their own 10 on the near hash mark, going from left to right. Quarterback Morency. He's got two receivers off the left. He's back in shotgun now, is Morency. And he keeps it after handing off. Hurdles a tackler at the 10 and gets out to the 15. Dangerous play with that hurdle. Dropped down by Henry Augustin.
And Morency with the keeper.
Oh, I always get nervous when I see somebody
five
do that.
Carry from
you missed the drama of all hurdles last night. Andreas tried to hurdle a guy who was standing up.
Second and 5 after the 5-yard gain by the quarterback, and run intended the entire way on that one. Panthers Chris Cole out to the right side. It is a pass play, but now Morency is going to run with it. Throws it short underneath, and it's out of our view. Incomplete.
Yeah, he had Chris Cole coming across the middle from the right side, wide open, and Morency didn't see him. He was looking for Flaherty down the sideline and didn't have him.
Third and 5 now for Beverly. And they're still back inside, they're deep. They're at their own 15. Sprinkling again as it's getting much darker here in Beverly. Jordan Parasella leads the team out of the huddle. Eye stacked up behind Morency. Full house eye, tailback. Chouinard, I'm guessing, plowing
short
forward. He's going to be just shy of the first down.
I have to ask Phil to put on the tools here.
The ball carrier.
So it'll be a fourth down.
Fourth and 1.
As the ball is at the 19. And it is fourth down and 1. Panthers showing punt. You can feel the momentum shift over to Somerville now.
Yeah, even in the last series, Bentley just seems to have let some of the air out of the balloon, Phil.
We've seen this several times this year where they've gotten up on teams and then they take their foot off the accelerator a little bit. And, you really want to keep it pressed to the metal here. There's no such thing as too many points scored in a playoff game.
Semperi, high snap and a high booming punt. Going to come down to the 45-yard line. It's a fair catch there by Somerville's
Gil Pierre.
And, field position is everything, and Somerville gets the advantage now at their own 45.
Yeah, just the same 45-yard line. That's a nice short field, and we've seen Jeffrey heave it down the sideline. So, might they go big once again right on the first play, try to get Beverly maybe napping a little bit, see what they can do.
I would hope that Beverly made the adjustment there after that last series, and if they do, they can defend that, but we did hear that they did have big play capabilities, and we saw it on that last play.
First and 10 for Somerville at their own, just short of the 45 yard line.
They do have three guys spread out wide, so.
And this is a run play up the middle, going to get some yards by David. Gets maybe 4 or 5 out to the 50. Call it 6.
David, the ball
Jake
carrier.
Bale again. First man to wrap him up.
Second and, give him 5, I guess. Second and 5. Is short of the 50.
5-yard carry.
And it is sprinkling again.
By David, brings up second down and 5.
Again, they're trying to spread Beverly out defensively. 2 minutes on each side here.
Yep. And Jeffrey's about 3 yards off the line of scrimmage. Quick pass out to the left side. It is complete to the 45, to the 50. And rammed out of bounds is the receiver, Lucas St. Jean.
Pass is complete.
Close to the first down.
Lucas St. Jean.
Yeah, it depends where they give him the spot.
Driven out of bounds by Kyle Shenard.
I think it's just shy, looking where the side judge's foot is and where the stick is on the other side.
It is right at the 46, at the Beverly 46. So it is second and less than one. But Somerville on the move. Again, they'll have the two receivers off to the left and two receivers to the right with one running back in the backfield with Jeffries. It's a quick pitch to the other side, and actually that was a reverse pass behind the line of scrimmage, but it's complete for the first down. Picking up the yards after the catch was Jason Barrientos. So he caught it in the backfield. He caught it actually behind the quarterback, but then made the first down on his own to the Beverly 42. Oh, check it. Yeah, 42.
Yeah, he was wide open in the backfield. He had a receiver out in front of him who could initiate the blocking once the pass was made.
Hand off on the run play. Sweep to the right, getting yardage down to the 35 and to the 30. Another first down. Looks like it's St. Jean again.
Yeah, Kyle Chenard on the knockdown just drove a shoulder into the running back. But all of a sudden, you got Somerville playing with a lot more confidence. And They're beating Beverly to the spot of the play right now.
11-yard gains for St. Jean. Announcers calling him St. John. And again, I tried to get a hold of Coach Fenton. Didn't make connections. First down for Somerville at the Beverly 31. They are driving. And the pass is incomplete, tipped at the line of scrimmage, and goes harmlessly down at about the 30. It looked like it was intended for Giovanni Pierre. So it's second and 10 for Somerville. No. Clock moving at, well, let's stop with the incompletion. 7:32 left to go in the half. 14-7, Beverly leading Somerville. Second and 10. Jeffries handoff with the run play to David. And he's hit after a short gain inside the 30.
Christopher David with the carry.
Hugh Callis
on the tackle for Beverly.
Haven't called his name much too much today. Jimmy things up, obviously.
Where's the ball coach at the 30?
Just inside. Third down and
29,
eight.
Thank you. So it's third down, 8. And Pierre and St. Jean are on this side. As receivers, two receivers off to the far side, which is the short side of the field. Ball on the far hash mark, and Somerville going from right to left. Trailing by 7, but on the march once again. This is to be a keeper by the quarterback. He's going to roll to his left, following some blocks, sweep to the left, and doesn't get a whole lot.
With the keeper.
Johnny Jones chasing him down.
Tackle by Johnny Jones.
Looks like it's at the 25, so he does get 4. And it's actually at the 24, he gets 5.
Bring up fourth down and 4.
Fourth down.
Oh, I got a trivia question for Phil. In what movie is the name Johnny Jones mentioned in a song? Johnny Jones. Yeah. Just thought of it. Just odd things popping up.
All right, 6 minutes left to go in the half. Fourth down, and somebody takes a timeout.
And we have a timeout.
Who calls it Somerville.
In Yankee Doodle Dandy,
timeout.
Jimmy Cagney and George M. Cohen, in one of his musicals, sings of Little Johnny Jones, the horse racer. And he was the big star who went to England. He was a big racing star in the Americas, went to England to make his fame and lost. And he returned in shame to the States. Little Johnny Jones. That's a I always watch that when that's on.
Timeout for Somerville. They started this drive at their own 44. This will be the 8th play of the series when play resumes. And on the previous possession, they went 82 yards in one play. to cut the lead to 14-7. So first quarter scores were by Chouinard and Abatey for Beverly before the touchdown.
Now, I don't see Pat Gavin on the field. You got Cattell out
fourth
there.
Fourth down.
Adams out there.
About four to go for the first down. Jeffries hands it off. David gets the... He gets hit in the backfield, but I think he's going to get the first down as he moves it down to the 20.
Yeah, he's across the 20-yard line.
Christopher David with the carry.
They had a chance, but they missed the tackle early on the first contact.
That's good for some of the first down.
Well, you heard it. First down, Somerville. They keep it, pick up the fourth down conversion right at the 20.
Second quarter, St. John's Prep 7, Acton, Boxborough, nothing. I don't know how. That was 3 minutes ago, so that's pretty update. Thank you, Steve Krause.
Clock is at 5:35. And now we have red zone action for Somerville, trying to tie this game up or go ahead. David in the backfield with Jeffries. With a man in motion. Hand off to David. Wrapped up in the backfield and dropped for a loss.
Christopher David, the ball carrier.
First man there was Nick Shears. May have lost a yard. Nope, going to give it right
in the backfield
back
for a loss by Nick Shears. Brings up second down and 11.
Boy, this will solve a lot of problems for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They fired their offensive coordinator.
Second down and 10 for Somerville. On the near hash mark, threatening to tie this game. Good defensive play by Shears on the previous play. Jeffries wants to pass. He throws it up for grabs, and it's caught.
Yeah.
And I think it's...
Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I don't know if it's a touchdown. Nobody's signaling touchdown, but there's definitely a penalty on the play.
It's a pass interference.
It was pushing and shoving by each guy, and I think it's going to be against Somerville. Down in that corner of the end zone, people are lining up against the fence, and we couldn't see if he caught it in bounds or not. But Somerville is coming back. I do think it's offensive interference. It is. There you go.
If you are heading into Boston at a Stero Drive, you might want to be aware that a car has caught fire on Stero Drive, and it's not a good-looking scene there. The car is completely engulfed.
So the ball comes all the way back out to the 35. And now it'll be first and 25 for Somerville. Well, that's a huge, huge mistake by the Highlanders. Now they've got three out to the right. Hand off David on the draw. He gets some pretty good yardage before he's stopped inside the 30 at the 27.
Christopher David with the carry. Tackled by Johnny Jones.
8 yard gain for David. So it's second. Third and 17, and it is raining very heavily right now. Rain coming down, straight down.
Oh,
quick pitch left side. It is complete to Pierre, and he goes across the 35 to
Jeffries. Pass complete to Giovanni Pierre.
I don't know where it goes.
Johnny Jones
to the 20. So it is Pierre with the reception. He goes to the 20, another 7 yard gain. And so now it's fourth and 10 with the rain coming down. Clock moving at 3:45. Fourth and 10 for Somerville. Trailing by 7. Jeffries, play is blown dead before it can really get moving, and that's not usually a good sign for the offense. And it is procedure against Somerville. Wow.
Here's the procedure against Somerville.
Bring it back to the 25, so it'll be 4th and 15.
Backs to the up 5 yards, brings up 4th and 15.
And this will be the 14th play of this drive once it gets underway. The play, that is. Well, we've had some miserable weather this year on weekends. Last year we had great, great football weather all throughout the season, and this year it's just the exact opposite.
It just saved it for the weekend for us, that's all.
Well, fourth down and 15 for Somerville. And they are back out at the 25-yard line of Beverly. Man in motion, Jeffries hands it off. It's going to be a halfback option. It's up for grabs and intercepted. And a Beverly tackler, defender tackles his own man after he made the reception.
Intercepted so by Johnny Jones.
Intercepted by Jones, who's been everywhere on defense, and he's rammed down by a teammate at the 10.
So does that count as a stat?
Or is it the 5?
Probably the best tackle he's made all year. Yeah, that's going to make the highlight blooper film for sure.
So this drive stalls, and net 31 yards overall after all of that. And they come up short. Now the Panthers will take over at their own 10 with 3:05 to go in the half.
Took three leading Medford 13-0. Latest updated score.
Counter play from right to left. And I think it's Chouinard battling for yards, carrying tacklers forward, and getting out to about the 17.
Strong arm by Kevin Flaherty.
That's Flaherty.
I'll tell you, after, you know, Beverly jumped out to that 14-0 lead, they really have really struggled to get to the outside, get anything working out the middle. Some of those made some excellent adjustments defensively.
Good second effort by Flaherty on that play to get him 7 yards, so it's 2nd and 3, all in the far hash mark. And, boy, it's really dark right now. Have to get the cars rimming the stadium and put the lights on here pretty soon.
Second, take out their cell phone with the flashlights.
Yeah, that'll work. All right, full house eye, pitch to the tailback, Flaherty trying to sweep to the right, gets a block, cuts it outside, gets the first down, face mask across the 35 to the 40. No, not quite to the 40. Stopped at the 37, the rain comes down heavily again.
Yeah, running with shades of his older brothers. Again, as he felt the contact, a light, slight little shift, turn of the shoulders, and broke away.
15-yard carry by Kevin Flaherty is good for the Panthers' first down.
That was a big offensive play for the Panthers. They really haven't been able to get a whole lot going here of late.
He got wrapped in the face, too. Got hit in the face mask and turned his head around. But no penalty called. And thank you, Coach.
Certainly.
Try to protect the equipment here as the rain is...
I know that's why you bring me along for these kind of contributions.
1st and 10, Beverly. They're out at their own 32. I have it wrong. I'm going to reset it for you. 15-yard gain. Hand off to tailback Chouinard.
Kyle,
he goes
Chouinard
up over everybody and stopped at the 35. 3-yard gain.
3 yards. Pick up.
2nd and 7.
Second down and
Beverly,
10,
right
to
back
35.
To the line of scrimmage. They're going to send 3 receivers off to the right side. Nobody off to the left. Morency wants to throw. He's got time. Shoots it over the middle. Complete to the 47. And breaking a tackle is Abatey. And gets
Kevin
it.
Kevin Morency passes
to it was
Cam
actually
Abatey.
Complete to the 44. Gets it to the 46.
11-yard.
Yeah, nice move by Abatey.
Went
down, sat in the hole in the zone. Looked like it might be going outside, but Morency came back inside.
Another quick lineup at the line of scrimmage. This is a handoff on the run play. And good run across the 50.
Al Sharafi on the carry for Beverly.
Al Sharafi carrying it. And he gets it to the Somerville 49. 5 yard gain, 2nd and 5. Again, Beverly right to the line with 1 minute showing in the half. Morency back to pass. Again, it's over the middle. Big tight end catch. And it's a first down at the 42.
He's complete to Hugh Callis.
Callis. Yep. Go ahead, Coach.
That was his first catch of the day. I think it was his first throw towards him. Again, just down the middle. Give it to the big guy. Let him work some magic.
What a 7-yard gain. And Panthers call another timeout. That's a second. You know, the passes are not pretty, but they're being complete. They're sort of almost like basketball passes, kind of wobbly. Not kind of wobbly, very wobbly.
Yeah, he's... I noticed just the last few games of Morency's passing is 1:29 left.
Ready then?
There's 1:29 left. We have actually on the clock showing 20... actually, just took us down. We showed like 11 seconds. So it was way off.
No, I don't know if Beverly was charged that timeout or not then. If they were, they've spent 2, and Somerville has spent 2.
But Morency's been throwing a lot of floaters.
Mm-hmm.
the last couple of games. And again today, because the weather today is cooler, the ball is slick, makes it tough to get a really good grip on it. But the rain is basically coming straight down. Good job.
And hard. First and 10 for Beverly at the 42 of Somerville. Abatey in motion. Play stops before it gets underway. I don't think the officials were ready. That's the second time I've seen that happen. Somerville called timeout, I guess. So Somerville spends their third, and we're still at 129. Ball is at the Somerville 42. Beverly scored twice in the first quarter. Somerville came right back to score once in the second, and then were threatening again in the most recent possession before the ball was intercepted on a pass by Jeffries, intercepted by John Jones of Beverly. The umbrellas are out, the rain coming down, it's very dark, and back to pass is Morenci. Rolling to his right, he's going to throw it out of bounds before he's hit and dropped way back at his own 39.
Really good pressure by number one, Marcus Thomas. Morenci had to scramble deep and just chuck it away.
Third down. No, I'm sorry, second down, second and 10. Clock didn't move. It's still at 129. So take 6 seconds off, bring it down to a minute and 23 left to go in the first half. And it is really pouring out here now. Very heavy rain. Second down and 10 for Beverly. And now who calls timeout? I don't know. But the clock is, the play is stopped once again. Well, let's get it started again. So, second down and 10 at the 42. Run play, good night. Shenard stood straight up and banged at the line of scrimmage.
That was a solid hit.
Ooh, heard it up here.
Where is the number? 45 again, I think.
Well, no gain. So, third down and 10 at the 1 minute mark. Morenci looking to pass. He's got plenty of time. Scrambles to his right, throws it to the right.
Oh,
Larry was at the 25, and it goes through his hands, incomplete.
A little high, he leapt for it, but I think the ball a little slick. So I got it right through his hands. I got Morenci with a lot of time. There was a basically just a three-man rush against him that time. So he was sitting in the pocket. He had some people sitting in the middle, and now it's really
down.
But luckily, it's straight down, so it's not overly impacting us here inside of the...
this is your 20% chance of rain, by the way.
Well, we're getting the 20% all at once here.
Wow. I thought it was going to rain
like this today. No.
Wow. I'm getting a little nervous about the gear here.
Oh, just flip the flip this up and over it.
Kind of all right, it. So it's a fourth down. Bad snap. Or actually took his eyes off it. Morenci scrambling. Shoots it to the left, and it's knocked down. As Flaherty was pummeled trying to catch the ball at the 30-yard line of Somerville. Now and Somerville takes over with 43 seconds left in
the
half.
Now the defender went over the top as Flaherty was trying to bring it in. Phil immediately went apoplectic calling for an interference call.
Where's Jackie Childman? Oh, my God. That's another one.
Litigation. he's channeling his Seinfeld at the moment.
This is a working press box. This is a working press box. No cheering, boys. As the rain is just pouring into this tin can.
Speaking of over calls, Mr. Stacey.
I never get involved in these, but that was
it was almost a mugging.
Yeah.
Somerville takes over first and 10 at their own 42 with 36 seconds left in the first half, and they're trailing by 7. And they've got quick strike capability. Witness the Jeffries to Joseph pass that covered 82 yards in this second quarter. Jeffries wants to throw it. Shoots it as far as he can. It's a wobbler. It's up for grabs. And I guess Jones, who intercepts again at the 25.
Intercepted by Johnny Jones.
That was just a little underthrown, and Jones undercut the receiver, and he was in perfect position to haul it in. Good job of cradling it in and maintaining possession, because it is just pouring buckets here right now. And ball difficult to hold on to, but boy, you got to give some little credit. They've gone after it. Two long passes, one for the touchdown. This one intercepted, just slightly underthrown. As the conditions deteriorate, it becomes a little more difficult to get that grip to really get all you can on the throw.
But the form of the passes are leave something to be desired, shall we say. I mean, that thing was almost an end-over-end pass. First and 10, Beverly once again. They're at their own 25 as we wind down the first half. 29 seconds left to go in this marathon first half. Morenci wants to throw, and he's got time. Looking to his left, running to his left. He'll throw it out of bounds with 22 seconds left. Rain letting up now a little bit as it's brightening a little bit off to the west. My goodness gracious. We've had some bad weather for high school football. All right, so penalty on somebody. Nope, it's back at the 25. I'm sorry. Beverly is huddled way back at their own 7-yard line, and the ball is out at the 25. I don't know what that was all about.
I don't know, one of the Beverly coaches was out on the field, and he was told by the referee, get off. So he made a beeline for the sideline.
Second and 10, Beverly. Two receivers left, two receivers right. Nobody in the backfield. Morenci, quarterback draw, slips, goes forward. Deeks gets at the 25-30. 35 and
Kevin Morenci
across the 35. I think he's got the first down.
Yeah, he just got beyond the stick. That's what his goal was, to get beyond the stick.
So he made it by a yard to the 36, 11-yard gain. First and 10 with 14 seconds left to go in the half.
Panthers first down. 14 seconds left in the first half.
I tried to take my phone out of harm's way and don't know what I did with it now. Well, it is probably I don't know what the pass play is. I'm going to say last play, but that remains to be seen. Ball is out at the 36-yard line. Panthers leading 14-7. Rain finally letting up quite significantly now. And Morenci is got two receivers. He's got two to the right, two to the left, one in the backfield. Morenci arcs it deep. There's two defenders back here. It may have been caught by a Panther. It's incomplete. Two defenders were all over. Is it Chenard, number two?
Yeah, I thought he came down with it.
Yeah, it looked like it.
They must have ripped it out on the way down. Phil, have you ever seen officials doing this in the course of a game? This is after a pass interference call.
Oh, boy.
You think that's going to be reviewed?
I think that might be reviewed.
Yeah, that might cost you a little bit.
Second and 10, ball at the 35 for Beverly with 7 seconds left to go in the first half. And the rain seems to have completely stopped at this point. Second down with 7 seconds left. Panthers again in the shotgun. Morenci will go back under some pressure, throws it underneath, incomplete.
Ooh, very, very dangerous.
Late hit on Morenci, and this will be a penalty against Somerville.
Very dangerous pass, nearly intercepted by Pedro Montero. But roughing the passer will continue to move the ball down the field for Beverly.
With 2 seconds left. That'll bring it out to the 50, I think. And it'll be one more play with 3 seconds left. Ball right at the 50-yard line. That thunder right here? Wow. Or is it something on the roof? Yeah, that might be it. All right, it's put down at the Somerville 49-yard line. And I got gunk all over me here. Boy, this is gross. First and 10, which is academic with 3 seconds left. Ball is at the 49-yard line. Let's see what the Panthers tried to do. They're at the Somerville 49. leading by 7 in what has become a really sloppy game in more ways than one. Renzi wants to throw. He'll throw it up to the center of the field, and it is intercepted at the 20-yard line. Returned to the 30, to the 35, 40, and dumped at the 43-yard line. It was
Giovanni Pierre.
Yeah. Pierre takes it in and returns it on the interception that ends the first half. Blessedly. So, we'll take a break. Come back with some talk here with the score at Hurd Stadium in Beverly's favor, leading it by a score of 14-7. This is MSO New Sports High School Football Division II playoffs between Beverly and Somerville.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
What a handlover, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
At the half here in Beverly at Hurd Stadium, it's the Beverly Panthers leading the Somerville Highlanders by a score of 14-7 as Beverly broke out on top. Looked like they were going to run away with it really early on as Somerville took the opening kickoff and fumbled it but recovered it. And then on the very next play, first play from scrimmage, they fumbled again. Beverly recovered. And then they traversed the 24 yards in three plays with Kyle Chenard scoring from 12 yards out. 9:24 left to go in, well, only a minute and 26 seconds expired in the game, and Beverly was up 7-0. They came right back a little while later, a very short time later, as a matter of fact. Let's see. I don't know if that's a 9 or a 4. Abatey scored from 59 yards out. Yeah, that was on the next possession. So with 4:41 left to go, it was Beverly leading it by a score of 14-0. That was three plays and 68 yards with Abatey scoring. But then in the second quarter, Somerville came to life, and quarterback Jeffries, big tall kid, left-handed passer Elijah Jeffries, a junior, fired it about 25 to 30 yards in the air, where it was caught by Shaq Joseph at his own 50. At the 50, went down that far sidelines and went in for the touchdown. That play covered 82 yards, and Somerville was back in it 14-7 with 10:41 left to go in the half. But then the game sort of deteriorated quite a bit, as witnessed by Somerville's drive inside the Beverly 15 down to about the 10. They got penalty after penalty and finally gave the ball up. And then since then, we've had two interceptions, and some kind of sloppy play, and I think you have to attribute some of that to the weather.
I definitely agree. It's chilly as it is, and then the rains came, and the field got slicker, and I don't know, Beverly just seemed to lose some of the fire that they come out and started the game with into the second quarter, and Somerville, to their credit, took advantage of it. They got the big play, the big touchdown, and they began to move the ball, fairly effectively, and then they had the turnover. But this is a game that could go either way at this point. Beverly's got to relight the fire and the intensity level. They can't expect Somerville to just roll over for them. They come here on a mission. They didn't travel all the way up in the North Shore to go over Louisa. They're gonna make every bit of a game that they can. Beverly has got to get sharper, regain some of that early season magic that they had. Even the last game against Glasgow was a battle that took a last minute interception by Johnny Jones to seal the win. So they definitely are. There's questions to be answered. Can they get back and find, relight that fire and take this game away from Somerville? Beverly certainly has the tools. They've got the players. They're just not making it happen as they've made it happen in the past, especially here at Hertz Stadium.
I'd like to know how many times we've called Johnny Jones' number today on defense. Two interceptions and a bunch of tackles.
He has been all over the place. He has been as consistent as anybody on the Beverly team. Jack Veal has had another one who's had an outstanding first half. The nose guard making it on a number of tackles, a number of assists. So they're making the plays. Some of the big names we're used to calling, we're not calling them out as much. Ucalis, Pat Gavin, I don't think he's even playing today, but Tommy Adams a couple of times, Bobby Adams, but
you got the Sam Abatey touchdown and the Carl Chouinard touchdown.
Yeah,
and
Abatey got beat on that long pass play. Yeah, but anyway, it was a great pass. It was a great reception. You almost can't fault the Beatty. If he had turned around looking for the ball, he might have had a play. But boy, it was such a well thrown ball and the catch. The kid never gave away that the ball was coming from the last second when he went off his feet, left up, cradled the ball in, and then broke away to score the touchdown. And so we'll see if the second half breaks. Who's going to make the adjustments?
Well, for Somerville, too. Somerville fans have got to be a little disappointed because they put on a couple of drives and then took themselves out of those drives with penalties.
Yes, that's a, and you can't have that. You've got to, you've really got to stay controlled. You got to be disciplined. They gave away a roughing the passer penalty the last play of the first half. They gave Beverly an opportunity to throw it down the field. Again, they intercepted it back. Again, which is another little incentive play. We took it away. We didn't let them score. So Beverly gets the ball to start the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That's advantage Beverly.
They do.
Can they come out and make the plays, get down the field, get a touchdown in it, give themselves some breathing room? Because that's what Beverly needs right now. They need a score to get some breathing room.
Very difficult to keep the stats here in the rain. The only thing of note that I have is the total yardage for the Beverly Panthers. They have 168 yards, and for Somerville, 134. So not a lot separating them, and really not a lot separating them on a scoreboard as well, where it's 14-7. So I don't know where we're going to be next week. I guess it's TBA, and you saw a pretty efficient Danvers team, and Danvers seems to be getting stronger and stronger. And I know, I talked with Coach Terrio last week, and I brought up last year with a, I don't know if you remember, Tim, but Danvers was in the playoffs, and they played some really tough schools, did well, but they physically got worn down when they ended up, in the final playoff game, I guess, that they played in. They were worn down, and then they were worn down against Gloucester in the Thanksgiving game due to those playoff games. And Coach Serio said they're taking a little bit different approach this year and trying to be stronger and stay stronger, you know, throughout the playoffs and then back on Thanksgiving.
Well, I'll tell you, last night's game, it was all Davis on the first half. They ran up 28 points. Three of them were on a punt block for return for touchdown. But it was so quietly efficient. There weren't a lot of big, loud plays, real big yardage plays that brought the crowd off their feet. It was just move down the field, constantly moving the chains, moving the chains, moving the chains.
That sounds like Borders and Andreas at work again.
Yeah, and even in the passing game, which I'm surprised they threw so much, Borders was sharp. He was crisp.
Mm-hmm.
He was throwing before the break. And the receivers were there, and they were bringing it in and making just great reads, great plays. They were being very decisive in the passing game, and they used that to their advantage. But again,
number.
Wait, I have to get my loser tickets here.
You'll be down by the concession station.
Good luck,
here
Coach.
Yeah, let's see how this works.
This
out.
Is the most important number of the day now.
Winning number.
There we go. Are you ready?
0-4-2-0-1-8.
All right, let's go back and continue our discussion.
That didn't last long. Well, you know, we're talking about the success of the conference, and we had winners last night. We had Marblehead, we had Danvers, we had Gloucester, we had Peabody. Did I miss anybody? Marblehead, Danvers, Gloucester, Peabody. I don't know.
I have my
got the score. Well, you know what? This will be a good point to play the scoreboard. Let's get Bill's scoreboard up here, and then we can discuss this afterwards. All right. So let's run the scoreboard one more time.
MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Curry.
Here are the Friday night scores in Division 1 North. Andover in overtime beat Lexington 54-48. In Division 1A North, Chelmsford beat Revere 25-14. It was Peabody 35, Western Academy 19. Lincoln Sudbury 35, Cambridge 14. And Reading shut out Malden Catholic 33-0. In Division 2 North, it was Masconomet 20, Waltham 8, and Billerica down Concord Carlisle 35-0. In Division 2A North, it was Danvers shutting out Wakefield 28-0 in a broadcast game here on MSO. Gloucester downing Melrose 18-6 in a live streaming video game. Marblehead shut out Wayland 35-0. North Reading downing Bedford 35-0. Check out the website. We do have some post-game videos from some of those games here on MSO News Sports. In Division 3 North, it was Bishop Fenwick 31, Amesbury 6, Newburyport edging Pawtucket 21-17. Triton 22, Swampscott 10, and Watertown down to Austin Prep 34-18. In 3A North, Linfield 34, Northeast Regional 14, and St. Mary's walloped Winthrop 52-8. Division 4 North, Cathedral 30, Essex Tech 14, and Brighton beat Lynn Tech 32-8. In some non-playoff games, Burlington 16, Arlington 6, it was Malden 22, Lawrence 13, Manchester Essex 45, Marion Keefe nothing, North Andover beating Lynn English 22-14, Wilmington 31, Arlington Catholic nothing, Winchester 28, Salem 6, Woburn beating Lynn Classical 19-6. And check back with the website throughout the weekend for updated scores and results here at MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell.
All right, Bill, thank you very much, and we are ready to start the second half. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Provosky, Phil Stacy of the Salem Evening News, chipping in now and again. As we start the second half, Beverly will receive the ball, and the conditions are still wet, and it is, as Tim has mentioned, natural turf out there. And the Panthers will get the ball to start the second half, but you got to be careful with ball security, as they say. So here's an end-over-end kick that's going to come down to the Beverly 12-yard line. Flaherty returns it up the middle, or it's Abatey returning it to the 28. Sam Abatey with the return. Decent field position for Beverly to start the second half.
Yeah, he was just getting some momentum. He gets ripped down by number 11, Fred Kasten, a ninth grader. There's been an accident out on Route 128 northbound that's shutting traffic down out on 128. Before exit 20, which is Route 1A, it is northbound, so if you're in that area, just get out of it.
Just underway now, second half, first play from scrimmage at the Beverly 28-yard line. Stacked eye formation behind quarterback Kevin Morency, and he'll hand it off to the tailback. Oh, Shenard is hit and knocked backwards, stays on his feet, keeps his balance, and he's just spinning around like a top at the 18-yard line.
Kyle,
I'm sorry, the 28-yard line.
He looked like he was going to lose 3 or 4 yards, and I think he actually made it back to the line of scrimmage.
Well, he put his hand down. He didn't go down. He put his hand down and regained his balance and maybe lost a couple of inches, maybe half a foot.
That was a long time for no gain. A
lot of spinning, a lot of work on that play. So it's 2nd and 10 for Beverly.
Tewksbury, 38-0.
Over.
In an update. You had to ask me, didn't you? Hang on.
Okay.
It's right here, Method.
Metha. All right, man in motion is Abatey. Gets the handoff, sweeping to the right, turning the corner, goes down. I think he slipped at the 21-yard line. Very short gain for Beverly. It'll be third down. And
Abatey with the carry.
Well, let me see what they put it, Coach. They put it, the yard marker is at the 23, I think. So, call it a 3-yard gain. Third and 7. A lot of people out in the grass here just standing. They were sitting earlier, but now standing with the wet grounds where the near stands used to be at Herd Stadium. The Sun stands are on the far side, and they're still there. 3rd and 7, eye stacked up behind the quarterback. Pitch or handoff to Abatey coming from the other direction, and he stopped for a loss at the 20.
Nice job of staying home by the Somerville defense, tackled by Marcus Thomas, number 1. Number 3, Henry Augustin was there. Number 8, Jelani Tull. Again, they all stayed home expecting they have something coming their way, and they're all able to collapse there and make the stop.
You got to add 10 yards to everything I said. It's at the 30. But it is 4th down, and almost 10 to go for the first down from the 30. They need to get to the 39, so it's 4th and 9. Oh, bad snap. Sam Perry picks it up and puts a line drive boot into it that hits at the 45-yard line, gets a Beverly roll down to the 31. So the Panthers come up empty on offense on their first series. Good defense by Somerville. And
37-yard punt by
the Islanders take over.
Down by Alex.
1st and 10.
I just think we're going to have to throw some quick hitter passes just to get Somerville off the line of scrimmage. Get some space. And right now, there's no space for the running backs.
1st and 10 for the Highlanders of Somerville, and they'll break the huddle back at their own 50-yard line, or out at the 50-yard line, back on their own sideline. And they come trundling over the 20, 25 yards to get to the line of scrimmage as a unit. And the quarterback, once again, is Elijah Jeffries. He is a junior for Somerville. They'll put a man in motion, and they'll sweep to the right to the man in motion. Hard hit after a pretty good gain as Gio Pierre gets 5 or 6, maybe even a little bit more, out to the 39. So Pierre gets it to the 39, about a 7-yard gain. 2nd and 3. 3 receivers. Well, now it's 2 receivers to the right, 1 off to the left, wing to the left as well. Jeffries hands off, run play again to David this time. He goes off of right tackle for a couple over the 40 to the 42. So that is a 1st down on the 3-yard carry. 1st and 10 for Somerville at their own 42.
That run is good for a 1st down. 1st and 10.
2 plays, 1 first down. They're going to put Jason Barrientos in the slot to the right with Shaq Joseph, who had that tremendous touchdown earlier. He's split out wide to the right. Hand off to David. There he goes. Breaks it up. Tackle across midfield. 45-40 of Beverly inside the 40. And Somerville's on the move. Chris David with a big 1st down run.
Yeah, quick hitter right up between the guard and center. Again, slide of Bill, quick feet. Just slid into the secondary very, very quickly.
19 yards from scrimmage. Ball midway between the hash marks. 1st and 10. Another 1st down for Somerville. They are driving. Jeffrey's the quarterback in the shotgun. He wants to pass this time. Tries to lead his receiver. They're pushing and shoving. He catches it, and it is complete way down at the Beverly 10-yard line, I believe. That was Pierre. Was it number two?
Two.
Gilles Pierre with the catch, and it's first and goal for Somerville.
I'll tell you. Jeffrey says the ability to put a lot of air underneath the ball and let the receiver just run underneath it. That was a great over-the-shoulder catch by Pierre.
32 yards, first and goal from the 7 for Somerville. Jeffrey wants to run with it. Rolling to his right, hit in the backfield and upended for a loss.
Abatey.
And that hurt.
Abatey overcame a block by Jeffrey number 7, Shaquille Joseph. And he brushed that block away and dove in and took Jeffries out real low through the knees. Jeffries a little slow to get up.
Well, he got hit low in the ankle, and then he went down real hard after that. You know, upended like a guy falling down off ice, not able to get your balance. What is it, back to the 14?
Yeah, 14, 13.
So it's a 6-yard loss back to the 13. Second and goal from the 13. Big, big defensive stop, but again, Somerville just marching right downfield to open up this third quarter. Handoff reverse to David. And he reversed. That's a weird play. He's running to his right, stops, and goes back the other way. And he gets down close to the 10.
Jeffries is feeling the effects of that tackle from Beatty two plays ago. He's still flexing that leg in the ankle.
Beal gets credit for the tackle. Ball is at the 12, I think. Maybe it's the 11. 2-yard gain. Was that us?
I don't know, but it went right through my ears.
Yeah, I think it was. Somerville slow to get back to the line. 5:20 left to go, third quarter. And it's third and goal from the 11 for Somerville. This looks like this could be a pass. Beverly sensing it. They're coming. And it is a pass over the middle. Incomplete. Timing play at the goal line.
Well,
and it was Pierre again, the intended receiver.
Yeah, he had it down about 3 feet. He had a touchdown, but he let it high. It flew over the hands of the intended receiver, Pierre. And a bit behind him. But he had the receiver open.
Jeffrey still favoring that right leg as they go to the sidelines now. Will this be a field goal attempt by Emerson Clems? He's their extra point man. And this will be from the 11, from the 12. So where's the ball? At the 12, it looks like.
Yeah.
Be about a 22-yard attempt. Make it a
field goal.
15, 25. I don't know where the ball is. It's a bad snap, and I think the kick is going to go through. It is good. And it was
at curling.
The 20, so it's a 30-yard field goal. 30-yard field goal by Clems. And the score now is 14-10, Beverly. Well, that was interesting. So Somerville swept right downfield before Beverly finally came up with a big defensive play, but the Hunters still get 3 out of it. So for Clems, that's a 30-yarder, and that was, 8 plays, and how many yards did they go? They got to the 11. 2, 18.
How ironic.
Yeah.
57. Well, Somerville has scored here in the third, making it 14-10. Panthers will get the ball on the kickoff. 5:04 left to go in the third quarter. And a very impressive drive by Somerville again before it broke down. And Clems is a freshman. Long, high kick. Not so long. It's going to come down to Chenard at about the 14. Blast it up the middle. All the way out to the 40, to the 50. Trying to break a tackle, 40, 30, he's going to go all the way. Chenard on the kickoff from about the 13, call it 87 yards, and Beverly has scored.
Well, he took it, he saw a lane as soon as he started, and he just swept a little bit towards the far numbers, right back up in the middle, and he found the seam, and he just kept running hard through, and he broke a couple of hand tackles and a couple of grabs at his shirt, and there was one defender to beat, and he just kept a little shoulder twist and gave himself some space, took it
he
right to the house.
Yard kickoff touchdown return for Kyle Chenard.
Now, that's what Beverly was looking for. They needed a response to the momentum that Somerville has built up over the last two quarters. Now, well, that takes them air out of the...
Carry on to attempt the extra point.
Out of the Highlanders' sails, or can they respond again?
Ooh, my. All right, so Luke Semperi gets this one through, and it's 21-10.
The line is good by Legaton.
21-10, Beverly, after the 87-yard kickoff return by Kyle Chenard. And you can almost sense that one. Boy, he took a couple of strides, and he was up the middle, and everybody else was in his wake.
Yeah, it was just busting the contain of the coverage team, and it was he did that, and it was just basically one man to beat.
So Beverly now has increased the lead back out to 11 at 21-10, 4:51 left to go in the third quarter. After the field goal by Somerville had closed the gap to 4. I think the rain has finally stopped completely. It's still very dark and very
Why
gray.
Are you mentioning rain? You know you're only going to bring it back. You keep
and
talking
very
about
chill,
it.
Chilly. I'm just trying to fill the space here while we wait for the kickoff. Somebody's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, just waiting for it to snow.
You smell it? Oh, yeah. Well, Killington is open, I think. I'll be up there soon enough.
The man who can't stand 35-degree weather is waiting for sub-zero weather.
Five below to five above is the best time to ski. All right, kickoff picked up by Pierre back at his own 12-yard line, returns to the 25. And Somerville now will take over first and 10 at their 25. Field getting a little chewed up, Coach, along the hash mark, the near hash mark. A little chewed up over there.
Yeah, Tyler Gary on that tackle on coverage.
Tackle for Beverly.
4:46 left to go.
Well, it's taking a lot of rain, so it gives a, you know, the soil and the dirt gets a little bit loose. It's easy to tear it up.
All right, so it is at the 25. Scores for Beverly today. Chenard, a pair of touchdowns, Abadie the other one. And for Somerville, Jack Joseph, the 82-yard fantastic pass play from quarterback Jeffries, and Clem's a 30-yard field goal. And that's where we are, 21-10 Beverly. But the Highlanders have it at their own 25 to start this drive. Elijah Jeffries, the quarterback, in shotgun with one blocking back or running back there with him. He's hollering out to his receivers on the left-hand side to split wider out. Panthers with three down linemen, four linebackers, and it's timeout for Somerville. And a game that had been moving quite well in the first quarter just really got way slowed down, and now some stutter stops. And we're going to have this, I think it's a 30-second timeout, because just the quarterback went over to the sideline.
Medford has scored. It is now 39-8. They're closing the gap on Tewksbury.
We'll get this play underway eventually. Here we go. First down now in the near hash mark as Somerville moving from left to right, trailing now by 11. And here's a handoff on the run play to, I think it's David. Gets a couple of yards. Yeah, it is. It's Chris David across the 25 to the maybe the 27 or 28. Let's see. Yeah, it's at the 27, two-yard gain for Chris David. Second and 8.
Christopher David with the carry. Tackled by Paul Olfeisch.
Olfeisch gets credit for that stop. Second and 8 at the 27. Somerville, pass play. Quick pass to the right. It is complete. And first down yardage across the 40 to about the 42.
Jeffrey
Shaq Keith Joseph with the catch.
Yeah, missed tackle. A lot of him gained about 7 yards after the made reception and turned it upfield.
It's to the 40, 13-yard gain. First and 10, Somerville on the completion. from Jeffries to Joseph.
Boston College now leads NC State 13-7.
Clock at 4:05 in the third. This will be a run play. David going to his left off tackle, and he gets across the 45 to the 46.
Tackle by Tommy Adams.
Another 6 yards, and it'll be second and four. Maybe, yeah, second and four, call it, at the 46.
It'll be second down and four.
Jack Veal coming off.
Barrientos is in the slot to the right. Joseph off wide to the right. Long time getting the play in. Now the Highlanders have it. They get set. Beverly, three men down once again. Barrientos in motion. David can't get back to the line of scrimmage. Maybe a yard loss. Beverly was ready for that one up front.
Yeah, Ucala shot the gap, brought him down.
Joseph with the attack.
For the quick loss.
About a 1 yard loss. So now it is third and a long five, almost six to go for the first down. No, it's third and five. Ball midway between the hash marks as Somerville is moving from left to right, 2:48 left to go in the third quarter. And it's a play action. Quick pitch out to the left side, complete, well short of the first down.
Nice takedown.
Who caught that, number eight or nine? I think it was eight. Jeremy Tull, Jelani Tull.
And Johnny Jones brought him down.
Jelani Tull with the catch, but very busy short of the first down.
Very busy young man today.
And they're going to go for it. At their own 48, they did this last time and got the first down. Fourth and two for Somerville. Beverly showing blitz. And it looks like now we're going to stop the play and restart. Now Somerville ready again with Jeffries hollering out the signals being relayed out to the receivers. And it's David up the middle, gets the first down. But that's it, but he gets it right at the 50. Wow. So they get the first down. Somerville keeps the ball. This will be the seventh play of the drive. They started way back at their own 25. They're out to the 49 now of Beverly. First and 10. Barrientos this time will flip-flop and go off to the left side with Joseph on the right. David, the running back behind Jeffries. No wind to speak of. And Jeffries looks to his left. And it's complete. Oh, good catch by Joseph as he was... He was hit just as he caught the ball. Abatey tries to take it away, but they're going to give it possession to Somerville. Joseph with the sure hands. Oh, but it's a procedure call against Somerville. Bring it back. My, my. Boy, these penalties have just taken the air out of the tires of Somerville. Back to the 45. It'll be first and 15. I believe I'm going to sit down for a few minutes here, Coach.
Have a seat.
See if I can write.
View doesn't change much. 21-10, Beverly, 107 and ticking in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Now, Somerville, first and 15. They've overcome a lot of these long yardage downs. But penalties have been very costly. They've got three receivers off to the right. Jeffries calling signals, gets the snap, shoots it quickly to the left. Complete to Pierre at the 45, gets a yard, that's it.
Yeah, Beverly did a good job of responding to the throw. Looks like number five.
Jeffrey passes to Pierre.
In contact
by Hugh Callis.
I think the dock ages took less time than this third quarter.
32 seconds left in the quarter. So weird just seeing people stand around looking to the sidelines to get the signal. That's just strange. And it takes so long. Now the players are looking at their wrists to see what the play is. I haven't been there in 50 years, so I really don't know. Yeah, it's been 50. All right, Jeffrey shoots it out. Intercepted by Flaherty. at the 43, returns it to midfield to the 40, sidesteps a tackler and driven out of bounds inside the 30. The third interception of the day for Beverly.
Number four, Chris David, knocked Flaherty out of bounds after he avoided one tackle along the sideline. Flaherty really didn't have to move a whole lot for that interception from a safety position. The quarterback led the receiver right to him. He just merely took one step up and took the ball away.
Well, this one's coming back.
This may be a block in the back on the return. Let's see.
Let's see who gets possession. That's of import. Yep.
On the run back. Yep.
Penalty on the run back, and so Beverly will retain possession after the interception. Third interception of the day.
Stepped up for me.
Okay, hey, you're like the guy, the lineman who makes a tackle. They're down 33 to nothing. The guy makes a tackle and he does his dance. He did what you're supposed to do.
Hey, I'm not the one wearing a Mickey Mouse hat. Just remember that.
I wear it proudly. And what do you have on today?
My Salem State
University.
Yeah, uh-huh. I used to have my old one that just had Salem State on it. Sort of wore out over time.
Well, that's it. I guess the quarter has ended, and so we'll... We missed our opportunity here to take a break. We'll have to do that as we can. We'll be right back.
You'll notice it.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com. Or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
As we come back to the fourth quarter, Beverly runs one play. They start this drive at their own 46-yard line. Chenard gets 3 yards. It's at the 49, second and 7 for Beverly after the interception. Stacked eye formation, full house set up behind quarterback Morency. He will give it, pitch to the tailback, and that is Flaherty. Will sweep to the right side, across the 50, down to the 40, and driven out of bounds near the 30-yard line.
Well, I think he went out of bounds because he bounced off the guy, the defender that he knocked down. He just lowered the shoulder into him and gave him a full bore drive, and the defender went down, and he got thrown off his balance and ended up stepping out of bounds. But great run by Flaherty.
Run by Kevin Flaherty.
Well, you heard it, 21 yards, and it's first and 10 for Beverly. Now they are at the 30-yard line, and they're threatening to open up a gap now. They lead by 11. And after seeing Somerville score first in the second half, Panthers have come back with the touchdown on the ensuing kickoff, and then now they're driving once again. I don't know what that was all about. They were ready to go, and the referee, Joe Donovan, said, nope, let's go back to the huddle. Well, Panthers break the huddle. Now it's a two-man eye formation, but it's going to be to a Beatty on the end around, on the wing around, and he goes from right to left.
It's
about 5 yards near the 25. Just short of the 25, so almost a 5 yard gain, second and 6 to go for Beverly. Ball in the far hash mark now, 9:41 left to go in the fourth.
St. John's Prep update, 25 to nothing over Acton Boxborough.
It'll be a great game at Andover next week.
Second down and six for the Panthers as they spend some time in the huddle now. Jordan Parasella leading them out. There's the full house eye. Again to Flaherty, the tailback, picking his way. No, it's Chouinard breaking tackles inside the 20, down to the 15, and maybe the 13. Nice. Power run by Chouinard.
Yeah, he kept his shoulders square, stood upright, just kept the legs driving, broke three or four tackles as he went through the middle of the field.
Yeah, he was a tailback in that formation. Looks
13
like it's at
yard run by Kyle Chouinard.
At the, where is it, at the 13?
Yep.
So about a 12-yard gains. First and goal. No, check it. First and 10 from the 12.
First and 10.
Panthers started this drive at their own 46. This will be the fifth play of the drive.
Phil Stacey just informing me that St. John's Prep, that they win today, will take on Andover next week.
All right. Maybe we can do that game. Here's a sweep. And Flaherty's going to score from 12 yards away. And Beverly has opened up a 27-10 lead.
Well, it's taken them some time.
13-yard touchdown run by Kevin Flaherty.
Like late third, early fourth quarter to finally put the key back in the ignition and get something going. Opening up some holes, getting big chunks of yardage on a number of plays. And it's coming from a lot of different people. Flaherty, Beatty, Chouinard, everybody's doing it.
Exactly so.
Which is the balanced offense that we're used to seeing early in the year.
13 yards off tackle run for Flaherty. Semperi attempting the extra point with Morenci, the holder. Puts it down, puts it up, goes through.
The kick is good.
All right, so 8:45 remaining in regulation. And the Panthers drove 54 yards in five plays to increase the lead to 28-10. And for the Panthers, they have 224 yards of offense. Somerville has 220 yards of offense, but as coach mentioned, Panther heating game, running game heating up.
Yeah, the blocking has been a bit better.
Beautiful Herd Stadium, great place to watch a football game.
Even when it's dark out.
Oh, yeah. It's just a beautiful place. And, of course, nostalgic for me. I started here with Bill Newell. I started back in 79 with WESX, and we used to do all the Beverly games in the old press box. With the ladder, I'd go down the ladder forward, carrying all the gear down. Oh, it was way cool. But it's today, and Semperi gets this kickoff that's going to go almost down to the goal line, fielded at the 3 by Pierre. He's going to cut it from right to left to the 20 to the 30, and a penalty flag flies as he's tackled at the 22.
Yeah, we got a holding indication at about the 28-yard line. So this will come back.
Yes, sir.
Again, sometimes, the enthusiasm, you're just trying to make something happen, and you just get a little too enthusiastic. You get a defender out in front of you, and all of a sudden you're trying to create that hole for your running back, and you just grab a bit of shirt, and it's just the wrong time to do it.
We'll have coaches and interviews and recaps on Monday night on North Shore Sports Night at 7 o'clock. You there for that one?
Which one is that?
Monday night.
I could very well be, yeah.
All right, and we'll take a look at what's coming up in the playoffs as well this coming week. All of our games, our broadcast games, of course, are TBA. We don't know yet. Ball is back at the 18, where Somerville will start this drive. 8:37 left. They're down by 18. Ball is at the Somerville 18.
Yes, the Monday the 14th I won't be available, but
alrighty.
Next week I'm available.
Elijah Jeffries, probably the tallest kid on the field, is the quarterback. He's a junior quarterback for Somerville. Good runner, good thrower. He's going to throw to his right. It is complete to the right. And first down yardage, caught at about the, the 15. And Joseph gets it out to the 25. So Joseph with some substantial yardage in this game, including that long touchdown back in the first half.
Yeah, Jeffrey, again, at his side, he's probably looking for him, probably 6'4 at least. So we can see over the defense, and his release is high, so it takes a lot to get the block on it. Running play here.
14-yard gain on the pass and nothing on the run.
Nah, they're going to lose a yard or two on this play. Great penetration David, by the Beverly line.
David tackled back at the 30 with the 2-yard block.
Yeah, looks like Clayton McAlpine in on that tackle as well.
Nick Fairs.
It's 2nd and 11. And they're going to look to the sidelines again for the play. Giovanni Pierre will split to the left. In the slot to the left is St. Jean. Quarterback Jeffries throws it complete to St. Jean at the 35, 45, 50, and into Beverly Real Estate and driven out of bounds. Lucas St. Jean, a senior, and they're going to put it at the Beverly 40.
Yeah, that was a bit of a wobbler as Clayton McAlpine actually got in on Jeffries and got his hand on his arm, but there was enough on the throw for the completion. Again, Beverly wants to get back down to tackling low on these receivers. They're trying to just grab them up high.
29 yards in the air. Sorry, Coach.
And they give it up extra yardage because they're not bringing them down.
I haven't seen a tight spiral all day. These things are wobblers, but they're working.
Now they're getting them there.
It's at the Beverly 41 on the first down. There's a quick pitch out to the right side and complete.
There you go. That was a better spiral.
Yeah. It was overthrown, tight spiral, but... ball incomplete, intended for Barrientos.
Yeah, what Jeffries does really well, he knows he wants to go to that shot pass out in the flat. He just pivots, and he's got the arm cocked up high, and he's letting it go. Again, giving his receiver the advantage of getting the ball and then being able to look up and find the defender coming at him.
Clock stop with 7:46 left to go in regulation. Jeffries, quick pitch to the left this time. It is complete. To Pierre for a couple of yards.
They're doing that quick toss out to the sideline. They've got two receivers out. One of them drops back to get the pass. The other one lines up to block.
Just out to the flatty. They use that a lot. 6-yard gain. 3rd and 4 for the first down at the Beverly 35. I was wondering who's doing all the yelling, and it's the Beverly football team down here in the near sideline. They're doing the cheering, making noise. Jeffrey throws it over the middle, incomplete. Oh, he put it right in the hands of the intended receiver, but he was whacked as he caught it.
Yeah, Tommy Adams made a great play reaching in, knocking that ball down.
I think it was Barrientos. I'm trying to see the number. Yeah, Barrientos was the intended receiver, and he's feeling it. He was clobbered.
Passes broken up by Tommy Adams.
And that makes it a 4th down and 5.
It's raining again. See, I told you. I told you would do it. Yeah, I couldn't leave it alone, could you?
So if I say anything about the lottery, will that work?
I might have won. I might have won the 50-50.
Yeah, it's raining again. 4th down. And there's that quick pitch in the flat, tipped up and incomplete. And almost hauled down by Pierre, but he was on his back when he tried to catch it. And Beverly takes over on downs.
Yeah, that's huge. That would have, well, I don't, if Pierre made that catch, he probably would have been able to get the first down, but it would have been an amazing reception as the ball was tipped and he reached back. Unfortunately, his feet came out from underneath and he was going down away from the ball as he reached back and managed to get a hand on it and tip it up in the air, but just couldn't come down with the ball.
But now time with 7.5 left to go in the ballgame really favors Beverly.
Yeah, now they want to grind this out, take 4 or 5 minutes with a sustained drive, see if they can punch another one in. And they're coming up to the line with a big jolt of enthusiasm. Let's see if they can turn it into a gain here.
At their 35, pitch to the tailback out of the eye, around the right corner, and slammed down after about 7.
Chenard.
Marcus Thomas on the tackle. That looked like it might have had enough momentum for a bigger gain there. But again, good job by Thomas to bring Chenard down.
Chenard brings up 2nd down and 3.
He did get 7 to the 42. And now it's 2nd and 3. And Beverly in no hurry to get in and out of the huddle.
Offensive lineman William Shaw just came out of the game, talking to one of the coaches along the sideline.
Full house eye once again. This time it's Flaherty who's the tailback. Well, no, it's not a full house, just a 2. Flaherty is the tailback. And he'll get the handoff up the middle. pounding his way. Second effort, short of the first down. Stop.
Flaherty, the ball
at
carrier.
The 44.
Number 78 for Somerville, Quincy Bocage.
Third and one at the 44 of Beverly.
Real nice wrap up on that target. Exactly, yes. We do have that advantage, don't we? I mean, last night was lovely.
Yes.
The heater at our feet.
Hmm?
The heater at our feet. It was lovely last night in Danvers. I'm not so sure the... And, Mr. Stacey, you do realize he has his own heater at his feet. Oh, no.
That's smart.
It is.
It made me miss a play. I don't know what happened. There was a run play to the 45.
Renzi looks like maybe enough for the
breath.
We'll see.
You know, it's not like I ever make fun of you guys, right? Especially you.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know.
Right, so we're going to measure with the...
just a little bit of Texas in Beverly.
Third
a
and
little,
one.
A little Texas heater.
Don't I wish. Texas tea.
Not at all. Wow.
Yeah, it's at the 45. And
I think they might have where his toe hit.
So we're going to stretch the change and find out. It'll be fourth down anyway, and I bet they go for it, whether it's the first or not on this one.
Well, not that far to go. Couple of
weeks. Missed it by that much. All right, so fourth down for Beverly. Fourth and inches at their own 45. And I would think they can afford a run play on this one.
Hey, listen, we have an official in the booth. Can we, like, go to New York and have his interpretation? You know? We've never actually utilized that service.
We have the technology, as they used to say.
We have the
technology.
All right, so they'll keep the offense on the field, the Panthers will. They're at their own 45 with an 18-point lead and 5:42 left to go in the game with the clock moving. So it's fourth and inches. Ball midway between the hash marks as Panthers are moving from left to right. Most recent score, as we mentioned, was the Flaherty 13-yard touchdown. That was after a Chouinard 87-yard touchdown run. Two touchdowns in the second half. Quarterback keeper, first down. Line surge got him about a yard, and he only needed inches. So
the Cameron keeper is good for the Panthers' first down.
Put it to the 46, and that was a very quick snap, quick line surge, and they got it.
That's what you want to do. You just want to get up there and snap the ball and go. Try to catch the defense a little flat-footed, anticipating when the snap might be. Boy, they didn't get much, did they?
Got a yard. Only needed a couple of inches.
That's all they got. Look at the spot.
First down for Beverly. They keep the ball with the clock rolling, headed toward the five-minute mark. Now you got the full house eye formation, shoulder to shoulder, tight. It's a handoff run play. That's Chouinard burrowing low, I think, after a couple. Is it Chouinard or Flaherty? I'll see the number. Tell me who it is. Who's the last guy up off the pile? It's Chouinard.
The ball carrier.
I was right.
And tackle by number 17, Kevin Dubuc.
All right, it is at the 49.
Chouinard coming out, the Beatty going in.
So, Phil, do we know who Beverly would play next week?
Well, unless there was a massive comeback in the fourth quarter, Tewksbury on the road. Top season.
Tewksbury, the nemesis of the Northeastern Conference. Tewksbury has a history of knocking off Marblehead the last several years, and Gloucester before that. Beverly again, very slow to come out of the huddle. They're at the 49 with a second and seven, their own 49. And the clock continues to roll now. It's down toward the four-minute mark. Two-man eye. With Flaherty, the tailback. And he gets the handoff, standing straight up, gets the first down, and more with second effort to the 43 of
Kevin
Somerville.
The ball carrier.
Again, just a quick hitter. Up behind the right guard, getting into the secondary quickly.
8 yard gain, first and 10. For Beverly, they continue to roll.
And again, just turn the hips a little bit, taking away the angle from a would-be attacker.
Amir Al-Shrafi has been the blocking back, the fullback on these plays, and he has opened up a hole time after time, so give him some credit. And, of course, that front line of the Panthers doing the job in this second half in particular, led by Parasella. With Al-Shrafi as the fullback. penalty marker as Flaherty runs across the 40, offside on Somerville.
Yeah, that'll be a free 5 yards.
And
penalty, save it down.
Let's see what they're going to do. Offside on Somerville, so we'll step off 5. It'll be 1st and 5. It's at the 38. So the Beverly Panthers, looks like they'll be headed to Tewksbury next week. And we've done some games up there. They have an interesting field. I'll mention that front line again for the Panthers. Jordan Paracello, the center. Nick Shears, Nick Gonzalez, the guards. Jake Veal, Paul O'Feish, the tackles. There's the eye once again. And there's a wing around for Beverly. And it's going to be to the 30. Abatey to the 10. And knocked out of bounds. I'm sorry, across the 20. Inside the 15 toward the 10. Hard to see the yard markers down here off to our right with the angle we have. We're very low to the field. But it's a first down for Beverly with the Abatey run. Is it at the 9? Yep. First and goal from the 9 after the 29-yard run.
Carry for Sam Abatey brings up first and goal.
2.5 left to go in regulation. Beverly, first and goal from the 9. Not a well-attended game, but some people still here. First and goal, full house eye. With a lineman getting the handoff, I think. Was that number 56 getting the ball? I think that was Nick Shears carrying the ball.
Nick Shears, the ball carrier.
And the Shears family has some notoriety in sports in these parts.
A little.
3 yard carry for Nick Shears.
So he was the fullback, the upback, in the I formation wearing number 56 and gets the 3 yards. Panthers will break the huddle and Shears is the upback once again with Al Sharfi behind him and the tailback is Flaherty. Full house eye behind Morenci. Shoot-a-shoe formation at the 5. Hand off, Shears again, plowing forward, close to the goal line.
Nick Shears with the carry.
11th play of the drive coming up. Clock moving. Panthers started this at their own 35 at the 1 minute mark now. And it is 3rd and goal now from the 1. Shares.
3rd and goal from the 1.
With 2 carries.
Okay, I'm gonna take a wild stab and say Shares is getting the ball again.
Has he played in the backfield before? In varsity?
Yeah, he's blocking back. I don't think he's carried.
Because Gloucester had a kid that he converted from lineman to quarterback at one time. Brett Cahill?
That went rather well.
Rather. All right, Shears is the upback, gets the handoff, and gets the touchdown.
Touchdown, Nick Shears!
Well. For the Beverly Panthers, 11 plays, 65 yards, and the score is up to 34-10.
1 yard touchdown carry for Nick Shears makes it 34-10.
So 11 plays and 65 yards. And Semperi will look for the extra point. And again, Morenci is the holder. Gets it, puts it down. And Semperi puts it up. And through. Well, 24 seconds left to go on the clock. 35-10. Very convincing win for the Beverly Panthers today. A tough one. They had to fight for it and work for it, but they did. Something I said, Coach? I forgot about that because Coach Ingram and I usually just stay upstairs. I forgot about that. Thank you.
Yeah. I have to. Bill will be waiting for these for the postgame. These will be videos. of.
Well, you didn't say hi to your buddies today. What happened? Usually you say hi to somebody, Tim Oaks or Flanagan or somebody.
Tim Oaks is dead. Jim Oaks.
Jim Oaks. Okay.
Well, he was listening to you guys last night.
Oh.
In the Gloucester game, I know he was there. And Big Jim, if you're listening today, I hope you're resting comfortably. And he's probably listening to us and watching Notre Dame if they're on TV. He's a massive Notre Dame fan.
Alrighty.
Oh yeah. So
we'll. Check the standings, check the website. We'll tell you what games we're going to be following next weekend as the conference continues its winning ways with the Beverly Panthers over Somerville. There's a tremendous kick that goes back to the goal line, picked up by Pierre, who has to bring it out to the goal line. He's dumped at the 6, or at the 10, rather.
Pierre with the return.
And with 13 seconds left, we can start the wrap-up on this one. Coach is going to go downstairs and get some interviews. I'll run through the scores.
Colton Petrosino on the tackle.
And then we'll start laying the groundwork for where we're going to be next weekend. So a hard, hard-fought win for Beverly, but they pulled away in the second half and got their offensive shoes together. The defense has been pretty darn good all day long. Somerville with a number of mistakes hurting themselves in this game. 13 seconds left to go. And a number of substitutes in the game for Beverly. All substitutes in the game. In the MIAA Division II tournament, Jeffries rolling to his left. Left-handed thrower. Throws it incomplete with 7 seconds left to go. 007.
Pass defended by Kyle Geary.
The line of scrimmage is the 12 for Somerville. And it'll be 2nd and 10. And again, all substitutes in the game for the Panther defense. Well, 35-10, Beverly leading this game. Somerville looking to the sidelines for a play or two to see if they can run those off in 7 seconds. Trailing by 25 points, Panthers coming away with a big 21-point second half. Jeffries throwing it, and it's incomplete, so we'll have another play with 3 seconds left. North Shore Sports Night on Monday night, and we'll figure out where we're going to be. Bill Newell right now, I'm sure, or sometime during the weekend, going over all the possibilities as to where the conference and the Kaypan League will be playing. Monday night, we'll also hopefully we'll be talking to some coaches and some writers and wrap this weekend up. The Gloucester video game will be on hopefully sometime today, if not then tomorrow. Gloucester versus Melrose last night. So 3 seconds left to go. Jeffries, the quarterback, will launch it to his left again. This one is complete to Pierre. At the 25, goes to the 30, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 50, and game is over. So we'll give him that. Now there's a lot of chippiness going on the sidelines, and Beverly coaches are very upset with their own players. But I think we're going to end it here. The penalty flag came out. So hold on, Somerville may get one more play.
That's the end of the game with the final score, Beverly 35, Somerville 10.
And the game is over. It is over after that 38-yard play. So let me just write that stat down and we'll get this thing going here. Okay, so Beverly wins it by the score of 35-10. And we'll wrap this thing up as Coach Kearns has gone downstairs to see if he can talk to the coaches and the players, and we'll post that up on the website for you in just a little while. So the Panthers advance in the state tournament. with a very good win here. We'll recap the scoring here right after we take our final break.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We have wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South, Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender. MSO Newsports.com, MSO Radio.
So the Beverly Panthers add to the winning ways of the Northeastern Conference in this tournament season as they pull out with a 35-10 win over the Somerville Highlanders. And hello once again, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And for the Panthers, they win 35-10. They opened up very early on with a couple of quick touchdowns to go out and top 14-0. Panthers, Kyle Chouinard from 12 yards out, finished off a three-play, 24-yard touchdown drive with 9:24 left to go first quarter. And that was after a turnover on the first play from scrimmage, Somerville fumbling the ball. And Beverly taking over at the 24, going in three plays later, 7-0 at that point. Panthers came back late in the first quarter with 4:49 left to go as Sam Abatey scored from 59 yards away. And that was just on a sweep, three plays, 68 yards, 14-0 Beverly. Now, Somerville got on the board early in the second quarter. I believe it was the first or second play from scrimmage at 10:41. It was quarterback Elijah Jeffries hitting Shaq Joseph. And Joseph, after about a 30-yard reception, rambled the rest of the way, 82 yards overall, and it was 14-7, Somerville back in the game. That's the way the half ended. Now, Beverly started off the third quarter. They were 3 and out, and Somerville marched downfield before they had to settle for a 30-yard field goal from their kicker, Clems. Emerson Clems is a junior, so he kicked a 30-yarder, and that made the score 14-10, Beverly getting it a little nervous. However, kickoff on the next play, Kyle Chouinard, 87-yard return with 4:51 left to go in the third quarter. Beverly had up the lead to 21-10, and they put it away in the fourth quarter. A couple of drives, five plays, 54 yards. Flaherty finished off with a 13-yard off-tackle run. At 8:45 left to go in the ball game, they led 38-10. And then, at the end of the game here, 11 plays, 65 yards, and Nick Shares, a lineman, running the ball at fullback from a yard out, scored with 24 seconds left to make the score 35-10. Final stats in the ball game. Actually, Somerville outgained Beverly 305 total yards to 289 for the Panthers, but it's the scoreboard that's the final arbiter, 35-10, Beverly winning this ball game. So, again, check out the website. We'll let you know where we're going to be next week. We'll be covering at least two games on Friday night, probably a third in Marblehead. Gloucester goes to Marblehead. We'll have some kind of coverage on that one. And we'll be covering all these games for you next weekend. So on behalf of Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and for Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore. Final score from Beverly's Herd Stadium, the Panthers 35 and the Highlanders 10. This is MSONewsSports.com.